tomorrow's news today.
To flatten the curve, wear the mask, take the shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it, all horse crap. And they used COVID to derail Trump's last recovery, and now, as I predicted, they're using war to do it.
If you spend too much time on Twitter or get your news from the liberal mainstream media, you may have gotten the impression that the president's supporters are abandoning him in droves over Operation Epic Fury, his war to prevent your grandchildren from having to face off against a nuclear-armed Iran. Our hapless president has been dragged into this war against his will by the nefarious Bibi Netanyahu, according to people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Megyn Kelly, and now Joe Kent. Alas, none of that is true. The narrative that MAGA is split over Iran, beloved by the liberal media and the anti-Israel far left and right, is complete fiction. Far from a betrayal, poll after poll after poll has found massive, overwhelming support for the president's strikes on Iran among Republican voters, upwards of 85%.
Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island, let this regime down a vine. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine Expeditionary Units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this.
Welcome to Texas. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Trump is against that entire globalist plan of austerity and against their carbon taxes. That's why I've supported him so much, because compared to the Democrats, it's night and day. He really is returning national sovereignty to America and making our own decisions. But my God, then don't make the wrong decisions now that we have a president back in charge. This is so paradoxical, and it's so love-hate for me. And I know I've been right, and I've been proven right again. It's our own government's assessments, for heaven's sakes.
And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June, in the West Wing, in the stairway, and I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space, and he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran. Very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis. And then he's suddenly publicly assassinated and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that.
That's why the head of the Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, quit this week trying to get Trump to pay attention and change course. Instead, they've been attacking him as a traitor and saying he's a leaker with no evidence.
I can say this. He said very strongly that Iran is not a threat. Iran's been a threat for 47 years, and there's not a country in the world that doesn't agree with me on that. So I take this guy, Joe Kent, who lost twice for Congress, pretty badly and tough, and was devastated, and I know that he lost his wife. So instead of letting him live out his life, I brilliantly have my people call him and offer him a job in security, essentially, in the White House. And what does he do? He goes out and he says that Iran is not a threat to get publicity. Now, he probably signed up with CNN.
Joe Kent, the former director of the United States National Counterterror Center. This is from Semaphore. He just resigned. He's now under FBI investigation for allegedly leaking classified information. And the investigation predates his departure.
These opening remarks with one other fake news, and that is that Israel somehow dragged the U.S. into a conflict with Iran. Does anyone really think that someone can tell President Trump what to do? Come on. President Trump always makes his decisions.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. This will be the last day that I'm sitting in for Alex. Patrick Byrne will be taking over the fourth hour to be covering a bunch of incredible information. We'll be joined in the second hour by Michael Yon to give his particular perspective on the Iran war and everything going on around the world, as it is becoming obvious that the Iran war is much larger than you might think. We are seeing now the way in which the Iran war is being very rapidly transformed into the Great Reset 2.0. And we're going to be talking about that a lot today. And it is very, very, like, shockingly reminiscent of COVID. We already have fuel lockdown measures taking place in places like Slovenia. You have this article from Yahoo Finance. COVID gave us hybrid work. The Iran war might give us a four-day week, and this time experts say it could stick. Oh, good. The experts are back, folks. The experts are back to tell us everything wrong and then silence us for being right. Energy lockdown has started. In the U.S., the East Coast power failure, massive outages reported. You have, again, this being spread by the IEA. Work from home, carpool, and fly less to combat soaring oil prices. Oh, look, it's exactly the things that they were trying to justify through climate change initiatives, and now it's about the Iran war. Isn't that convenient? It turns out that you can kind of just slap anything, any tragedy, any catastrophe, any emergency can be used to get us to the exact same point every single time. Last time it was the flu. This time it's a war. Regardless, it's the same people at the highest positions in our society getting us into a situation for which their answer is digital enslavement. Well, how very convenient for them. So yes, working from home, carpool, and fly less to combat soaring oil prices. And I see people saying, you know, they're doing it again. Resist with all you've got. Obviously, we have to do that. Obviously, we know what the intentions of this really are. Create the catastrophe. Provide the so-called solution. The solution is to enslave you. Obviously, we shouldn't be rolling over and comporting ourselves with this. But how are you going to resist? How are you going to resist when they just don't deliver the gasoline to you? How are you going to resist when they tie your every purchase to your biometric ID and have you system limited at the transaction level? How do you resist? No, we have to not just not go along with this. We have to actively step forward and prevent this from happening. This is worse than COVID. COVID, they had the fear. COVID, they had the social pressure, right? You're not just putting yourself in danger. You're killing grandma. They don't really have that this time. They don't really have the moral outrage that they can use to get people to police each other. But they do have the control levers of the actual delivery system for the stuff we need to survive. So that's what they'll be using. That's what they are using. And again, we are seeing this have massive effect already in places like Australia, because Australia is, of course, limited in its energy production, requires oil from through the Strait of Hormuz. They are being cut off already. and the videos out of Australia are pretty insane. Let's go to clip number 34 here. This is an Australian woman who walked into a supermarket and realized there wasn't any food. Let's watch.
So Sienna and I have just come to Coles to literally get popcorn. And look, there's nothing.
She's
look
in the produce section
here,
and it's
Darwin.
Completely
what
empty.
This is literally, there's nothing.
Wait, there's pineapple?
Oh, yeah, some lemons. Oh, yeah. You're taking the piss. Look at that. There is nothing left.
Absolutely nothing left. And I hate to say, it's just like those giggles are going to turn to tears pretty quick. Just like, why is there no food? Why is there no food here? This is so weird. This is so silly. There's supposed to be food here. And it's like, yeah, there's no food there. No, that's kind of a big deal. I get it. You're just used to everything being there all the time. You're in this normalcy bias where everything has always been there, so everything always will be there. But what if it's not? Quote, the cost of fuel has to be worn by the customer and the people can't actually pay for it. Let's go to clip 28 here. This is another Australian video uploaded by another Australian. In this case, the fuel pumps in Australia don't have any fuel. They are already rationing fuel in Australia as a consequence of merely 3 weeks of this conflict. Let's watch clip 28 here. So here again, fuel drying up here in the Gold Coast. Sorry, this hose not in use, says every single gasoline dispenser is empty. Let's go to clip 20 now in Australia. Criminals have started siphoning gasoline out of each other's cars because we actually are getting into the Mad Max world. I mean, we are 3 weeks into this conflict, which could very well go for several years. Look at Ukraine, right? I didn't think that would last very long. We're 3 weeks in, and people are already siphoning gasoline from each other's cars. We're already seeing the breakdown of the supply systems, supply chains that we rely on for our existence, as well as the collapse of society as the pressures will mount and scarcity causes conflict. It's only going to get worse. Hundreds of petrol stations across Australia run out of fuel as Labour inks supply deal with Singapore. Energy Minister Chris Bowen says we're a long way from further actions like fuel rationing despite shortages. Well, it's been 3 weeks. So what, 5 weeks? I mean, how far is really far? Let's go to clip 20 here.
Heartless criminals have started siphoning petrol out of cars parked on the street as the crime wave from the fuel crisis gets worse by the day. Now, the price of fruit and veggies across Sydney is skyrocketing as grocers try to cover their ballooning costs.
At the fruit and veg shop, the rising price of petrol leaving supply far from apples.
Rather than coming daily to the market, it's only coming maybe twice a week.
Pushing up prices, the worst produce transported from interstate, like broccoli and fennel.
Probably about 25% to 30% increases so far.
Impacting small business, food producer Elizabeth Hewson sources her ingredients interstate.
How long can I ride this out? And you don't really want to make a drastic change, like increase the price straight away.
Today, 51 petrol stations across the state have run dry, 164 without diesel, but fuel still being bought in bulk. This at a Western Sydney servo.
If demand management procedures are required, that might be rationing, but firmly of the belief that it should be a nationally consistent approach.
Petrol thieves in Victoria targeting parked cars, prizing open fuel caps, siphoning tanks.
Shoppers adjusting their habits. Retailers.
So, again, we are in Great Reset 2.0 now. I'll again lay this out for you in an even more explicit way. Of course, this should not be surprising to you as you all lived through COVID. We all lived through COVID. We all saw how it was implemented. They're doing it again. And once again, the excuse they're using to bring this about, kind of valid, kind of not. I mean, for COVID, they created the virus in a lab. They released it on purpose. They then imposed the lockdowns that then required them to, you know, do more, you know, print a ton of money to pay people and all that. So just problem causing problem, causing problem, causing problem. They're doing the same thing now, only this time they start a war with Iran. They get the Straits of Hormuz shut. They bombed the energy infrastructure. And, of course, it's not just happening there. Ukraine just bombed Russia's largest gas refinery in Port Arthur, Texas. Here in America, there was a massive explosion yesterday. Total coincidence, according to the mainstream media. I'll leave that for you to decide. All of this stuff is happening in tandem and in an orchestrated fashion to create the scarcity that they will then utilize to bring about rationing, to enslave you, control you, and do the mark of the beast to make sure that you're not purchasing more than you're, you know, allotted. It's literally the mark of the beast, and they are actually doing it. Again, the attack is real. The Strait of Hormuz really is shut down. It's not like this is totally fake, but it is being weaponized and utilized, and it could be counteracted, but it's not being counteracted. And so you can add the Iran war to the list of various excuses that they use to justify the same thing over and over. First, it's climate change. You have to not travel. You have to not fly. You have to be trapped in your home, essentially, because climate change, because we're saving the earth. And then it was COVID. Well, there's a disease, so I guess you have to stay inside and not travel and not fly and not use your car. And now it's energy crisis. Oh my gosh, there's an energy crisis. I guess you have to stay home and not use your car. They just want to enslave us. It's not that complicated. If any of this was actually an appropriate response to the thing that was happening, then these reactions would help to solve the problem, but they never do. They only make everything worse, just like during COVID. IEA urges working from home and cutting air travel to ease oil supply shock amid the biggest oil supply shock in history. The IEA on Friday called on governments and consumers to consider immediate measures to reduce oil demand, including working from home and avoiding air travel when possible. So yes, it's the combo, you know, work from home with COVID, under COVID, combined with the climate change, you know, minimize your ability to purchase or travel things. I mean, look up the C40 city agreement. We've covered this ad nauseum on InfoWars, but if you're not familiar with it, there's a climate change agenda program called the C40 cities. It stands for 40 cities, but there's more than 40 cities. Just about every major city in America is signed on to this, and they have an incremental sort of step ladder to, you know, total human enslavement, but they call, you know, climate change solutions and net zero, you know, carbon production. But they have it very explicitly in there where for their ultimate goals to be reached by 2030, people will be prevented from purchasing more than like two sets of clothes per year. You'll be allowed, it doesn't even make sense, but it's like you'll be allowed 1 3-hour flight per year. And it's like, in one direction? They don't even have you allotted for a return flight? What is that? How does that even work? It doesn't even make sense. But they have it actually stepped down to where, okay, first we'll limit how much they can drive. Then we'll limit how much they can fly. Then we'll limit how much food they can buy. Then we'll limit how much, you know, clothes and everything else they can buy. And eventually it gets down to you can buy this many clothes per year and you can drive this many miles and you can fly for this long and that's it. Unless, of course, you have carbon credits, meaning that they're creating a neo-feudalistic future in which the ultra-wealthy will be able to do anything, buy anything, go anywhere, but everybody else will be strictly limited by their completely arbitrary and anti-human carbon measurements or whatever the hell else they're using. Slovenia limits fuel purchases as some pumps run dry. Slovenia on Sunday temporarily limited fuel purchases to tackle shortages at the pump caused in part by cross-border fueling and stockpiling due to the Iran war, raising concerns about the security of supplies as the country goes to the polls. And if you remember, back in 2020 and around that time, during 2022, the whole time that the lockdowns were continuing, we'd always say, you know, you think it's bad now when they say, I'm sick because you didn't get the vaccine. What do you think it's going to be like when they say, I'm starving because you have food? I'm cold because you have fuel to heat your generator. Give it to us. It's all of ours. It's not yours. You can't have something that I am being denied. So, again, they're doing it. They're pushing it again. And as Alex said in the first 5-minute report, the John Bound report, you can find it at InfoWars.com and Band.video. Please do share those links, by the way. We do rely on you to get our word out there. But Alex pointed that out during that opening report. Meanwhile, Ukraine hits giant Baltic oil terminal linked to Shadow Fleet as drone barrage sweeps Russia. Ukrainian drones struck the port of Primorsk on the Baltic Sea, one of Russia's largest oil export hubs, according to Leningrad Oblast Governor Alexander Drozdenko. A fuel tank was damaged, causing a fire. Firefighting efforts are underway, and the personnel have been evacuated. So, I mean, unless you think it's a coincidence, maybe you think it's a coincidence that Europe deliberately decommissioned all of its nuclear power plants for no discernible reason, then went to war with Russia, their number one supplier of fuel, then, you know, shut down all the coal power plants in the UK and started burning biomass, which is old growth forests from Virginia and British Columbia, chopped down in America, shipped across the ocean to the UK, I don't know what you call it, processed it down into pellets, the giant trees, the giant oak trees and the pine trees from British Columbia and Virginia, shipped across the ocean, ground down into pellets, and then burned for fuel. They call that carbon neutral. They say there's zero emissions because of that. Why? Because it's not coal. Why are they so desperate to demonize coal that they're cutting down forests? Well, it seems like everything they do ends up in cutting down forests. Search the headline, you know, windmills are driving deforestation in the rainforest. They're literally cutting down huge swaths of the rainforest to plant windmills. They chopped down 12 million trees in Scotland to build windmills. They have an almost inexhaustible supply of coal in the UK. They're not harvesting it. They're not accessing it. It's sitting there under their feet, and they're not actually taking advantage of it. The European people and the American people have been deliberately restricted from accessing free and plentiful fuel sources for this exact reason, to get us to the point that we can be controlled through this. Now, the silver lining of this is that there are like a dozen at least viable free energy generating processes, technologies that have been withheld from humanity because of how convenient it is to control people through energy flows. So maybe some of that will be forced to come out, because the other option is the entire global economy collapses completely. And here's the little tricky part about this. The powers that be understand that the number one protection they enjoy right now is the comfort and ignorance of the American people. The one reason that the powers that be, that the Epstein class, the people in the Epstein documents, the people who opened our borders, the one reason they are not being dragged out of their beds and, you know, hung from light poles is because the American people are fat and happy and distracted. So in a way, that is our shield at this point, is the understanding that they have, that the people in power have, that if we, on top of everything else we've been exposed to, on top of all the other outrages that the American people have endured, if we get an economic crash on top of that, if it becomes a problem to buy food for your family and people don't have any reason not to act upon their maybe more extremist solutions to the problems we face, then they're going to act on them. And these people are going to lose their power, not because of some act of Congress, but because we're going to burn their houses down and make examples out of them. So they're very incentivized to keep the economy afloat. And they're doing a lot of little tricks to try to keep it afloat despite destroying its underlying productive capacity. Max Blumenthal writes this: the International Energy Agency has published a 10-point Great Reset style plan to adapt behavior to the energy crisis caused by the U.S.-Israel war on Iran. The plan follows the IEA's facilitation of the war by releasing 400 million barrels of oil from emergency reserves. New IEA report highlights options to ease oil price pressures on consumers in response to Middle East supply disruptions. They say, one, work from home where possible. Two, reduce highway speed limits by at least 10 miles an hour, 10 kilometers per hour. Three, encourage public transport. Four, alternative private car access to roads in large cities on different days. Five, increase car sharing and adopt efficient driving practices. Six, efficient driving for road commercial vehicles and delivery of goods. Divert LPG for use from transport. Eight, avoid air travel where alternative options exist. Nine, where possible, switch to other modern cooking solutions. Yeah, remember like last year when they were trying to get rid of gas-powered stoves, and it's like, what? And AOC was talking about, oh, it's bad for, you shouldn't breathe in the fumes or whatever. Again, random nonsense excuses they bring up to conceal the fact that this is all part and parcel of a massive global plan to restrict our access to the prosperity and bountifulness of the earth. Like, you have to understand, the earth has everything humans could ever possibly need. It could support probably 100 billion people naturally. More bountiful than, like, I think we realize or can possibly imagine. Every other planet we have ever observed in the history of humanity and all of our exploration, all of our most, you know, exciting, you know, data recovery systems that say, well, this planet's the right distance from the sun and it's also about the right size. This might have Earth. And we've never discovered even the slightest amoeba anywhere else except for on the surface of this planet. And on the surface of this planet, you lift up any random rock and you'll find a sophisticated and complicated ecosystem of bugs and frogs and lizards and moss and mushrooms. And, like, the Earth is literally constantly exploding with life that's there for us to pick up. And it's just, it's like you're a kid and your parents just fill the refrigerator. It's just always there for us to access. The people in power are jealous of that. They want us to go to them to get what we need. They want to control our sustenance down to the very air that we breathe. They don't want us with a mom pig and a dad pig making a baby pig and being self-sufficient and using nature and the bountiful aspects of nature to support ourselves completely free from any outside human control. They would much rather we are forced to purchase expensive meat from them that's been grown in some sort of warehouse in China where a bunch of tortured pigs are filled with, you know, antibiotic growth hormone, you know, chemical swill, and then fed to us through the grocery store. It's the same with energy. It's the same with everything. All of this stuff, it's all an attempt to isolate humanity from God, basically. Basically to stop this God figure who's just giving everything out for free. You know, they should have to come to us and get it through us. Whether it's energy, whether it's fuel, whether it's healthcare, whether it's knowledge, whatever it is, it's there available for you. Humanity is blessed with this stuff in an infinite amount. And yet you have these scumbag control freaks who step between you and God and say, actually, you need to pay us and we need to actually know everything about you. We need to determine whether you're even worthy of accessing this bounty that we control and you get from us. And if you question us, we'll cut you off from it. It's all the same process. It's all the same agenda. It's all the same strategy. Cause scarcity. Use scarcity to justify rationing. Use rationing to create complete control. Because you don't have to punish people or threaten people if they have to obey you to get food, if they have to obey you to travel. And of course, then it gets even more complicated with the whole electric vehicle thing where they want to have all vehicles powered instead of independent, decentralized engines inside your car that you put the fuel into. All the fuel instead will go into a big power plant and the energy will be fed through lines. I mean, it's actually exactly the same. You're still burning fossil fuels. It's just that when you are in an electric car, they can control whether or not you even have access to the transportation. They can control where you go and how long it takes you to get there, and whether you are just consigned to be one of those low social credit score havers like they do in China, where you can't get the fast train, and you're lucky if you can even get a train at all. And your only hope is bare survival while unable to speak your mind or do anything about it. We'll be back on the other side and talk about where this goes from here. Don't go anywhere, folks.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
All right. RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
I went down to the mirror.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded, and everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love. discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
Everybody knows, folks. This is an absolutely incredible production from I Can't Even Production on X. That's I Can't Even Production. Go give them a follow. They, of course, produced the awesome Jeffrey Epstein AI compilation that we played earlier in the year, and they've done just an incredible job showcasing just a few of the conspiracies that are now so well known to everybody. And I guess on behalf of InfoWars and Alex Jones, you're welcome, folks. You are welcome for shifting the entire consciousness of the United States. I mean, it is really unbelievable to me. Like, it's shocking. It's not unbelievable. It's actually kind of surprising it took this long. But the fact that we are now at the point where, as you watch that video, and it goes on, I only showed you about a quarter of it, just knowing that there's enough, like, common acknowledgement, common knowledge about what's going on, that you can have these sort of oblique references to 9/11, the dancing Israelis, you've got, what's his name there with the LSD. All of this stuff is becoming common knowledge now. We have to go the next step of taking this newfound knowledge, for many of you, and folding it into a wider worldview that makes sense of all of it. Not just saying, oh my gosh, there's so much bad and evil going on in the world, I guess they're in charge and we should give up. Or the other thing, just going, oh my God, they control everything, we need to kill them all, like whatever the other extreme response is. The thing to understand is that for a very long time, America and indeed the world has been in the grasp of very, very evil people with very, very sinister plans. All of them focused towards and driving towards total, absolute, global control of humanity on the individual level down to your very brainwaves. That's their ultimate goal. Total, abject, challengeless subjugation. Which, again, if you go back to, like, look at some of the iconography of people like the Masonic Order, the Freemasons, they always reference ancient Egypt, the pyramids, the Sphinx. I mean, they love ancient Egypt. Why? I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that the ancient Egyptian culture existed pretty much totally unchanged for something like 4,000 years. Okay? We live in a culture now where we can't go a decade without the entire world around us looking completely different. 4,000 years, and you can't tell one piece of art made in the beginning from a piece of art made in the end. That nothing changed. The culture was stagnant for 4,000 years. That's the type of system the globalists want to implement. The type of system that can exist in perpetuity with a, class of god kings and, priest kings that manipulate the masses using exclusive access to powerful information and technology to enslave everybody else. That's their ultimate goal. That's what they're pushing towards. And you've got to understand that, realize that, and most importantly, understand that none of it is on accident. The first step to becoming a conspiracy theorist, that is just seeing the world as it is, escaping Plato's cave, breaking out of the matrix, the first step is understanding that it's not by accident. None of this stuff is by accident. Entire nations don't demographically change in 15 years on accident, with forces that nobody can control or make sense of. They act like these deliberate policy measures by people in power who can tell you exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it, and yet they treat it like it's dew on the grass in the morning. It just appears. It's just there, and you have to deal with it. Can't do anything about the dew. You just have to, not wear socks when you walk in the grass, or else you're going to be uncomfortable. You have to change to comport with just this random occurrence that arrived all of a sudden, and now you have to change your life to deal with it. That is the mindset that they have a lot of people enslaved in, where they really think that these things just happen, that, like, policy decisions about immigration or climate change, restrictions, any of this stuff, as if it just is a tidal wave that we all have to endure, a hurricane that you can maybe see coming, but you can't really stop it. You just have to, you know, change your life, change the way you do things to comport with the new situation. That's, it's all on purpose. It's all by design. And the outcomes are the desired outcomes, or else they wouldn't continue to do it. So again, the energy lockdown as a consequence of the Strait of Hormuz closing, as a consequence of the beginning of the Iran war. You think the people in power didn't know that was going to happen? Do you think they, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, they're already implementing this program. They're already putting out the Great Reset 2.0 lockdown checklist. Maybe they work very rapidly, or maybe this is all part and parcel of a much larger plan, which again, the bad guys are extremely powerful. They're extremely good at what they do. They're extremely conniving and devious and deceitful, and that allows them to succeed in their schemes against honest and therefore gullible people like Americans. But they're not all powerful, and they do have to contend with human will. And if it was up to them, if they had complete control, not only would COVID still be going on, remind you again, Anthony Fauci refers to 2026 as COVID year six. If they were in charge and had total control, we would have had a total reset of the entire world system in 2020. That would be considered year zero or year one. And we would still be in lockdown. We'd still be wearing masks. We'd still be doing most of our socializing through a computer screen. That was their goal. We stopped them from doing that. They didn't have COVID camps here. They had them in Australia. Why? Because if they tried to do that here, we would have shot them with our mini guns. Okay? And we're getting to that point, by the way. Second Amendment is very much a tool in our toolkit that may not go ignored for much longer, and I'll explain that in just a second. But you really have to understand that this isn't by accident. It's on purpose and for a design. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was talking to a lawyer in Houston, a real estate lawyer, and, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, office buildings aren't selling as much. There's like a lot of empty real estate space, but like, I think it'll come back eventually, or, you know, maybe not. And maybe it'll just, you know, people just don't want to come to the office anymore. And it's like, what do you not understand about this? The powers that be decided to isolate everybody. They forced everybody to stay home. It was on purpose. It saves the company a ton of money. They don't have to rent out an entire high-rise building. They can just have you stay at your house, so it's your electricity and your rent, so you have now taken on the burden of all of the amenities that you typically get in an office. Now you have to take them on yourself. It's sort of a cost-cutting measure that's taking place. Like, people just think this happened. People just think everybody woke up one day and went, I feel like staying home today and not going to work in an office. No, this was a deliberate reorganization of all of humanity. And it doesn't just stop at people not going into the office. If you read, like, it's almost sad because I'll be like reading to my son, and like Richard Scarry draws these very famous books. Everybody knows what they look like if you see them. And it'll be like about town, you know, out around town. And it's like, here's the butcher shop and the police station and the produce stall. And, you know, the little pig character is going around buying apples from the raccoon. And it's like, yeah, this isn't really our world anymore. It doesn't exist. And not just like, oh, instead of going to a butcher and a produce market, you go to a supermarket. It's like, no, you don't even go to a supermarket anymore. You aren't even going to go to a store anymore. Instead of going out and having a community with different shop owners all plying their trade and, you know, making their business and contributing to the community, how about instead it's all just in a giant warehouse on the edge of town and a bunch of robots bring it to you with a drone, and you can stay inside your house and just waste away. Like, that's what's happening. They're taking the world that was created through tradition over 1,000 years of trial and error and just establishing what worked and what benefited everybody equally, and they're wiping that off the board, and they're replacing it with a giant centralized computer system that treats human beings like nodes on a chipboard. That's what's happening. You can see the effects of it. All you have to do is recognize that those outcomes are A, deliberate, well, I should say A, manufactured, and B, deliberate. They aren't just arising. People just didn't decide to stay home one day. They were ordered to. They were forced to. And the result of this, of being empty downtowns and a total like destruction of our social life and the, you know, mental illnesses that have been created in little kids who were isolated during their most important formative years. That's all on purpose. That's by design. That's what they want. You know, that's what they want because they keep doing it even when that outcome is obvious. And by the way, the outcome was obvious from even before the time they did it. Just like bombing Iran, it was obvious they'd shut the Strait of Hormuz. Shutting the Strait of Hormuz would obviously result in fuel crises. Fuel crises that would obviously be exacerbated by the fact that in the previous 10 years, Europe has systematically destroyed its own ability to produce fuel with its own, or produce energy with its own fuel. Like shutting the coal fields in the UK or decommissioning all the nuclear power plants in Germany. It's all by design, folks. It's like you have to be stupid not to see how pointed this all is, how deliberate all of this is. So the Philippines has declared a one-year national energy emergency. President Marcos signed Executive Order 110 today, activating the Uplift Committee to enforce anti-hoarding measures, mandatory energy conservation, and emergency support for transport, agriculture, and small business. A one-year emergency, not 30 days, not 90 days, 365 days of crisis planning for an archipelago that imports 95% of its crude oil from the Middle East. Volume in stock oil futures surged minute before Trump's market turning post. This is the other aspect about this, is that, yes, there is a fuel crisis happening, and that's affecting the market, but then the statements from Trump are designed to calm the outrage or the volatility of the market. So, and the market is already fairly disconnected from anything real and tangible, but at this point, it's been disconnected from the disconnect. We're just completely in cyberspace here. I don't know where we are. S&P futures, 500 futures and oil futures flashed an unusual burst of activity early Monday minutes before a market-moving social media post from Donald Trump around 6:50 a.m. in New York. S&P 500 E-mini futures trading on the CME recorded a sharp and isolated jump in volume, breaking from an otherwise subdued pre-market backdrop. With thin liquidity typical of early trading hours, the sudden burst stood out as one of the largest volume moments in the session up to that point. What is this saying? This is saying that somebody with inside knowledge of Trump's Truth Social post made a lot of money off the catastrophe that they started. They're making profit from this. Oil jumps after explosion and massive fire at one of the largest U.S. oil refineries. An explosion and large plumes of smoke at the Valero refinery in Port Arthur prompted officials to order Westside residents to shelter in place, according to 12 News Now. A fire broke out in a diesel hydrotreater, with the unit suffering severe damage, according to people familiar with the incident. The fire was near the plant's fluid catalytic cracker, and part of the refinery has been shut down, according to the people who said a decision has not yet been made whether to shut the entire plant. And that's the wildfire in Nebraska. So right now you've got oil refinery explosions taking place. You have the largest wildfire in Nebraska history, raging, fairly uncontained and uncontrolled. That's the Port Arthur refinery explosion there. Again, at the exact same time that Qatar has cut off its natural liquid natural gas production, the Strait of Hormuz is closed, people aren't getting petrol or oil in places like Australia. Then you have the attack on the Russian oil refinery by Ukraine. At the same time, you have very coincidental refinery explosions in America and really throughout the world. There have been like 11 in the last few days. And then you have a giant wildfire sweeping through Nebraska, destroying huge amounts of farmland. And the other part of the fuel crisis is the nitrogen crisis, meaning that fertilizers aren't traveling through. And we're in a very sticky situation. Let's just put it that way, in that, are we going to have food in harvest time next year? We don't know. Not if we can't get the planting done this year. Not if we can't get the fertilizer through the strait because of this war. The war is destroying the world. And like, again, I want to reemphasize, it's the worst decision ever made by anybody ever. This war in Iran, just the consequences already are astronomical and dire. And they're only being made worse. And apparently being capitalized on and maximized by bad actors that, just like COVID, want to use a world crisis to gain more control and profit. Nebraska wildfires consumed nearly 800,000 acres, One of the fires, the Morrill fires, the largest in the state's history, officials said. That fire has killed at least one person. The fires, which started on Thursday last week, were burning as much of Nebraska was in drought conditions, a spokesman for the firefighting operation said on Wednesday afternoon. And then according to people in Nebraska, quote, they are not telling us what the hell to do. Pillen explains federal team's role in Nebraska wildfires. And essentially you have this federal organization showing up and just making everything worse. On social media, rumors swirled about a federal takeover of firefighting operations. And at the Wednesday meeting at the Brady Community Center, some attendees shared concerns. One asked if landowners needed to get permission from the incident management team before taking preventative actions on their own land. Another asked if local fire departments had been told to stand down in certain areas. And again, it's just a reminder that it's like, while we are waging a pointless war of choice in Iran and just deploying endless billions of dollars of not just resources and technology and equipment, but also the personnel and the experience and expertise and training that's gone into it, all overseas, all deliberately making the world worse in a thousand different ways, while back in America, wildfires are burning our farmland and we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, not knowing how to deal with it. The federal government completely incompetent. It's just everything that would be good for America has been siphoned away and delivered to the federal government to waste on foreigners. That's essentially what's happening. Grim countdown begins as millions of Aussies warned a huge change in 3 weeks will leave everybody worse off. Australians have been warned to brace for Armageddon at the supermarkets, with prices set to soar and shelves set to be stripped bare as soon as mid-April. The nation's escalating fuel crisis has threatened to choke supply chains and disrupt deliveries nationwide as the Middle East crisis drags on. Now, again, if we actually could get populists and human beings in these positions of power, this, again, could be kind of a useful tool. It might seem a little bit, cynical or vicious, but like, how about this? If there's going to be a global food shortage crisis, how about the governments of Europe and Australia and America, how about they ration the food and fuel of all immigrants? How about we say to the immigrant communities, hey, we're going to be in trouble here. We're going to have trouble getting enough food to feed everybody. We need to prioritize ourselves. You need to go back to your country where they can deal with you, where they can get the food that you need. We can't be responsible for feeding 10 million Mexicans. Mexico should be responsible for that. We can't be responsible for feeding hundreds of thousands of Somalis if we have a food crisis. Why should Americans have to go with less because a bunch of foreigners have gotten into our country in the last 4 years and are going to steal all of it? Why, if we have a, scarcity crisis, why shouldn't the natural indigenous people of a country be the first served? Because then, if it gets really bad, I bet people go home. I bet they just go home if they're not getting food from the government, if the government is controlling everything. Again, I don't even want to do that, but if we had any sort of rational leadership in any Western country, that would be the answer. Be saying, look, we don't have enough food to feed everybody. We have to make choices of who gets food and who doesn't, and we're going to get food before you. It's our country, not yours. If you want food, you got to get it from your country, wherever that is, go home. This would be a great, very efficient way to deal with illegal immigration throughout Europe and America, just feed the natives and not the foreigners. That would be very, 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 very simple. But we're not going to do that, obviously. In fact, I think it would go the opposite way. I think I wouldn't doubt at all if eating food would be considered white privilege and that, for equality, they have to deny food and sustenance and fuel to white people and give it to the foreign invaders because, equality. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. Hundreds of petrol stations across Australia run out of fuel as Labour inks supply deal with Singapore. Ukraine hits major oil port near Finland. Hormuz fertilizer block would upend world's food production. This is from the Financial Times. The Strait of Hormuz is 21 miles wide at its narrowest point. Gulf states account for 49% of globally traded urea. And that's the stuff used to create fertilizer, the nitrogen base. and 30% of ammonia, perishable contributors to the nitrogen cycle that makes high-yield agriculture possible. When the supply chain stops, the effects accumulate quietly in soil chemistry and planting decisions over the months that follow. Corn planting estimates are already being revised down as farmers rotate towards soybeans, which don't require added nitrogen. That rotation locks in yield losses before a single seed goes in the ground. Now add Ukraine. Before the first strike on Iran, the global food system was already running on reduced redundancy. Ukraine and Russia still represent about a quarter of global wheat trade, and some 400 million people across the Middle East and East Africa have been absorbing that supply shock for 3 years. The Hormuz closure isn't breaking a healthy system. It's breaking one that was already compromised. So again, what is causing the fuel crisis and food crisis? The decision to try to get Ukraine into NATO and start the war with Russia, the decision to invade Iran, the decision to shut down energy production plants, the decision to limit nitrogen artificially. This is what caused riots in the Netherlands when they were basically destroying the livelihood of farmers by these arbitrary climate change nitrogen limit metrics. It's all on purpose. Like, it's not an accident that all of these things are happening from all of the same sources at exactly the same time. None of this is an accident. The nitrogen trap just closed. Three locks snapped shut simultaneously. The planting window is closing behind them, and the food the world eats next year is being decided by molecules that cannot reach the soil in time. Lock one is the Strait of Hormuz, the IRGC permissioned corridor that allows oil tankers from friendly nations to pay 200 million in yuan to pass. Lock two is Russia, the world's largest exporter of ammonium nitrate, just halted all ammonium nitrate exports until after April 21st. Lock three is China. Beijing has banned exports of nitrogen potassium blends and phosphate fertilizers through August 2026. China is the world's largest phosphate producer and major nitrogen supplier. The ban removes the last alternative source that could have compensated for Hormuz in Russia. Three locks, three countries, three deliberate decisions timed on the same biological calendar. Site issues halt Yara's Pilbara Ag ammonia production. So the production of ammonia at Yara Australia's Pilbara operation is not expected to resume until late April at the earliest following a technical issue. And so this is a plant in Australia that produces ammonia to fertilize crops, and that's being shut down. And then on top of all of that, you have the creation of massive data banks like the one planned in Ohio. That will be the largest in the world and will require $33 billion natural gas plant equivalent to 9 nuclear reactors. So they're building up your AI replacement using the energy that they will be depriving from you so that you can't get around or have enough food to eat. It's all a plot. It's a giant plan. We're just uncovering it. You have to stop it.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon AI surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dies for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that. When you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You can follow us on X by going to at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars, at AJN Live. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. I, of course, normally host The War Room. I'm here sitting in for Alex today. We'll be joined shortly by Michael Yon, and then Alex will be back in the chair tomorrow. But I want to take this first little segment of the second hour to show a video that's gone absolutely viral for very good reason. This is a totally unacceptable destruction of our First Amendment. It is in line with all the other attempts around this country to incrementally and systematically eliminate our ability to speak out specifically about one group of people and one specific religion, which of course makes these laws and these actions completely in violation, obviously, of the First Amendment, which guarantees our right to freedom of religion, which does not mean only that you have a right to practice your religion, but you also have an absolute right to criticize, mock, or denigrate any other religion, obviously. Obviously, that's what it's meant for. But that's going away as people manipulate and twist and turn the definition of freedom of religion to mean that certain religions should have freedom from criticism. And again, we've already seen the way in which local law enforcement in places like Florida are abusing their power to try to intimidate people, criticizing them online. And this, again, is just the absolute foundational purpose of the First Amendment, for the people to be able to criticize their government and the government not to be able to respond. But that's changing. So let's go to this video. This is a sheriff, I guess, announcing an arrest because somebody made him look Jewish. Let's watch.
I give you this by way of example. Some pond scum felt empowered and emboldened enough to put this picture of me up to try to threaten and intimidate me, which, of course, he didn't do because I signed up for this. And by the way, the person that did this said a bunch of terrible things, not just against me, but against a lot of groups and individuals, who, by the way, was arrested today in Wisconsin. My point is this, though. If this person is emboldened and empowered enough or feels safe enough to do this for me, what does he do to a kid? What does he do to a Jewish family walking down the street? And that's because of the normalization of this, watching this on television and saying, okay, I feel empowered enough that I can do this. Well, A, you can't. And B, if you think you can do it to somebody that's in law enforcement, again, what are you going to do in an alley or on a street to a Jewish family or a kid walking down the street? We say no. We're drawing the line.
So it's hard to overstate what a abject violation of the First Amendment this is. In my opinion, that admission from this guy that somebody was arrested because this, I don't know. Is this guy Jewish? I don't even know. Here's the picture that was posted. So somebody posted this meme image of this police officer with the Star of David on his forehead and the Jewish hair and the Israeli police patch. And the person that made this has now been arrested because the police said that this picture was evidence that they were emboldened and empowered by the First Amendment and they had to be stopped. Now there's a conflation going on between ideas and actions. This guy says, if they're willing to do this, what would they do to a Jewish family they saw on the street? What, to talk at them? Use words? Have ideas they disagree with? That's what we're talking about here. This hysterical Jew, I guess, I don't know about this sheriff, is not able to do this legally in America. Somebody being arrested for a First Amendment violation like this is prima facie in violation of the Constitution and is therefore not a legitimate exercise of authority. So you can treat that sheriff like you would treat any gang member, mafia don, cartel chief that was using his, you know, ability to exert force to kidnap a rival or an innocent civilian. If you are arresting people for their thoughts, their words, or memes that they make, you have
absolutely given up any legitimacy you have. And I think that, you know, community action to free this person is kind of necessary at this point.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I don't know what it is about the Green Berets. But the Green Berets, Joe Kent was a former Green Beret. And my guest today is a former Green Beret. They must teach y'all something in the Green Beret training that sticks for life. And I think this particular, you know, section of the military has a very big role to play in the future of America. I was just reading Michael Yon's biography and saw that he was a Green Beret, and that just struck me. Why are all the good guys Green Berets? And, you know, what about that should we be looking at? Michael Yon is my guest. At age 19, Michael Yon successfully completed Green Beret training. His Green Beret experience taught him the art of observing and surviving in the most dangerous environments on Earth. Combining his skills as a writer and a photographer with the encouragement of fellow veterans, Michael began his correspondent career by traveling to Iraq in December of 2004. That was his first step in a nearly 20-year journey, traveling the globe to report on world events firsthand. He's traveled to more than 80 countries, including China, India, Bhutan, and Vietnam. Michael underscore Yon is where you find him on X, michaelyon.com. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Harrison. I'm in Okinawa, actually, now. Just back recently from Europe, looking at the same issues that we're looking at in, you know, in the Middle East. In fact, Masako, my wife and I just spent more than a month with Catherine Austin Fitz in Netherlands. We were in Netherlands because that's where Rotterdam Harbor is, the biggest harbor in Europe. And I could go on about that for hours. We often go to Netherlands because it's such vital terrain. And from there, we went to Hamburg. Hamburg, Germany is the biggest harbor in Germany. It's the third biggest in Europe. And from there, we went to Norway, looking at the Baltic issues. As you can see, yesterday, the Ukrainians, apparently the Ukrainians allegedly, attacked two Russian ports in the Baltic with drones, did really serious attacks. Where those ports are actually are the starting points of Nord Stream 1 and 2, which have been destroyed, obviously, on September 26, 2022. And actually, Masako, my wife and I, predicted that many times in advance. In fact, the last time we predicted publicly, or one of the last times anyway, it was 14 days before Nord Stream was blown up. And we were at BASF, the major plant in Germany, which is, you know, incredible. Those are the two strikes yesterday at Ust-Luga and the other Primorsk. And that's where Nord Stream 1 and 2, Primorsk is the beginning of Nord Stream 1 and the other one is Nord Stream 2. But anyway, those Nord Stream 1 and 2 have been blown up. From there, we spent some time up in Hamburg in Germany. Then we went to Sweden to look at some of these issues. Then we went to Norway to talk with a maritime expert, and a Japanese team flew in to see us that's also looking at this. And then with the Japanese team, we flew down to Denmark. We went to the Danish Strait. The Danish Strait will eventually, you'll see it in the news, I'm sure. The reason we were there is because it's related to what we're seeing now in the Middle East. Now, Masako and I, we were up in Denmark, in Copenhagen, looking at the Danish Strait issues. And I had been publicly predicting that I think that this war would kick off, or this phase of the war would kick off kinetically between 22nd of February and the 3rd of March. and I thought it would kick off no later than the 3rd of March, with the most likely date of kickoff being the 3rd of March. But so we were in Denmark, and I said, Masako, we got to get out of here because we want to get back to Japan. We've got to go through that Middle East route. So I didn't take her through Qatar or through Dubai because it didn't. I mean, I'm a war correspondent. I would go, but I didn't want to take my wife into the war. So we went through the Turkish route instead. And then we went to Thailand. Why did we go to Thailand? You'll notice Thailand's in the news a lot right now. We got past, you know, we just skimmed past through the Middle East just before the war started because we kind of knew, or we thought we knew when it would start, and we were right. It's like we were right about Nord Stream and Groningen and Darien Gap because we know what they're doing. You know, Alex Jones often says, you know, it's easy to know what they're doing because they write it down. Right. They brag about it.
Right.
It's not like it's super analysis, really. It's just reading a lot and paying attention to what they're saying, actually.
Well,
looking, I'm sorry here.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell with Iran because it was like there was a constant push. So it was like, well, it could be this weekend or it could not be for a couple months. It was hard to tell how real the threat was versus what was chest pounding and saber rattling. What tipped you off as to the exact time this would start? What was it about the build up to this conflict that made you think, okay, this is the real deal. It's actually going to start this time.
Yeah, when I started publishing, it was when they started to do this buildup, and I'm like, if they're going to do it, I think they are going to do it. A lot of this is intuitive, right? And your best advisor is going to be a well-nourished and well-rested intuition, which is an intuition that you've fed with information as much as you can all your life, right? Go for long walks, think about things. And so I've worked on my intuition for years and years, and now it's gotten to be pretty good. And so, you know, I thought, well, I think they're actually going to do it. I think they'll do it between the 22nd of February. There were reasons when I thought that would be the start window, and the 3rd of March, which would be a full moon, and it would be a key holiday as well. So, you know, it was just based on just a lot of war prediction over the years. I'm like, I'll bet you 3rd of March would be the most likely date. But anyway, between the 22nd of February and 3rd of March, and it was the 28th of February. And so we had punched out early, and luckily we got through there and we didn't get stuck. But other people that I know, you know, obviously got stuck there, and I was helping them out, and it's quite a mess. And then we made it to Thailand, and we were in Thailand because Thailand, you see, is in the news right now for the food issues. Now, Thailand is widely known for their huge food resilience. Now, about 4 years ago, I flew over to Thailand. I was in Ireland and UK as well with my wife, and we were looking at food issues, right? Because we've been predicting famine for 6 years, right? I mean, probably 1,000, 2,000 times, right? I mean, I can hardly come on with Alex or with you. I've come on with you before. I almost always mention famine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, because you could see it coming. Again, a lot of that's intuitive, but a lot of it's deductive as well. About 4 years ago, I flew over to Thailand to see an old prime minister. His name is Aphisit. And I started warning him about potential famine in Thailand. And he's like, you know, Thailand. I wrote the last two pages of his book, by the way. His book is called The Simple Truth. He's a former prime minister of Thailand, Aphisit. And I said, you know, but I think if you end up with the Turkish Strait closed, Strait of Hormuz and the Suez, Thailand will go into famine, right? He's like, you know, that won't happen. I'm like, I think it could. I can't really give you the math problem that leads us to that, but I can sense that it's coming. That's why we spend so much time in Panama. That's why we spend so much time in all these places, right? Turkish Strait, looking at these things. I think what we're going to see soon is, probably blockage of Bab el-Mandeb, probably Suez. Not that you need to do so, as if you do Bab el-Mandeb, if the Houthis do Bab el-Mandeb, and possibly the Turkish Strait, possibly the Danish Strait, Strait of Malacca, of course, and Panama. Panama's key, you know, about 40 ships a day are going through right now. I spend a lot of time in Panama looking at these things. And I think you can see problems at Hamburg. That's why we were just up there. Because this is a global shutdown of the food, and energy, right? And this is not a joke. This is not a game. This is not a skirmish. This is a global depopulation effort. And if you're going to do it, these are the things that you would truly do. You would you would close Strait of Hormuz. But remember, so many people have said, oh, they'll never close the Strait of Hormuz. I'm like, yeah, they will. Yes, they will. In fact, they'll do it and blame it on Iran.
They're holding an ace of spades, but they'll never play it, right? I mean, it's just, it's absurd. The fact that they didn't know this was going to happen. Everybody knew they were going to shut the Strait of Hormuz, and everybody could see the downstream effects that would have. And isn't it shocking, Michael, how similar to COVID it is, how almost perfectly paralleled it is? They're announcing lockdowns now. They aren't going to have the same social pressure of you're not allowed to come out because you're going to kill my grandmother. They're not going to have that, but they do have the actual physical control of the fuel, physical control of the nitrogen that they need to grow crops. So they aren't really relying as much as people policing each other, as they're just going to cut people off, it seems like to me. What does that say to you, the fact that we're seeing this rolled out again, just like COVID, with exactly the same lockdown procedures being prescribed? I mean, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, you've a lot of people are noticing exactly what you just said, that it smells like COVID, right? And it does. And they don't. Now, at this point, they're controlling the food supply. And so once you control the food supply, this is how they can put people onto the digital money, exactly, which people like Catherine Austin Fitz have warned about for years. You've warned about it. I mean, this is once they got you on the digital money, and now they can truly do slave city stuff, right?
Right.
Like, the smart cities are really prison cities.
And they are building that in parallel, right? We're seeing every day the new announcements about digital ID from the EU or private companies here in America, Reddit and all these other social media companies saying, yeah, we're going to require digital ID from now on. So it's like very clearly that these are multiple components of a single system that are all being established simultaneously, right? I mean, how do we stop this from happening?
First, like Catherine Austin Fitz said, start using cash all the time, as much as you can at times. So put it into, and don't do business with people, when you have the opportunity. Don't do business if you can't use cash. And so, that's one of the forms of resistance. If you're in a position to actually do or not do something, which many people watching this will be working in positions where, hey, maybe if I don't flip this button today, then that thing doesn't work. You know, I mean, now's the time, right? Everybody wants to be a hero until it's time to do hero stuff. It's time to do hero stuff. It's time for everybody, every little ant, which is what we are, to do ant stuff, right? And we can actually nip this. There's not that many of them, actually, that are doing this. We're allowing people like Bill Gates to do this. We're allowing people to do the death jabs and just like it, pretend like it didn't happen at this point, right? Which we've already have millions of people apparently are already dead. Nobody actually knows. But I think most people watching this will know somebody that got very sick or actually died after taking the jab. I know quite a few, and you probably do as well, Harrison. I mean, it's quite serious, as you know. And that's just one of the many weapons. The food is, and the energy, obviously, are epic level weapons. And we're going into it. Now, you see the destruction of the energy in the Middle East, but you also saw those two hits yesterday against those two Russian ports in the Baltic, right? And so I think you're going to end up seeing these in Texas.
Yep.
No sooner did I say that yesterday than something happened in Texas, right? You're going to see it across the United States, pipelines and that sort of thing being interrupted and destroyed, because this is a complete rearrangement of the world order. I mean,
right,
this is all, every war you've ever heard of in your whole life comes down to three things: routes, resources, and ideology. Sometimes it's just about routes or resources, but usually very often all three. And when you have all three like this, often the ideology is, over the top. With what we're seeing now, we've got various ideologies clashing and overlapping reinforcing each other in some ways and clashing in others. There are some ideologies that actually want Armageddon. There's some ideologies that want global population reduction.
Right.
They're going for it. They're hardcore going for it.
And that's what makes this so kind of difficult to talk about, because we're used to talking about these conflicts as if you can trust that the American war planners, their only concern is winning the war for America. That doesn't really seem to be the case anymore. You've got all these other forces with their own agendas, as you point out. Some of them want to start Armageddon. God only knows what they'll do to bring that about. Benjamin Netanyahu himself says this war is to bring about the Messiah. So it's like, I can't even say this was stupid for America to do, that this is all a mistake and they're dumb because they didn't realize the Strait of Hormuz would be shut, because all likelihood is the people that chose it knew that was going to happen and did that on purpose, because they're not motivated by what's best for America. They're motivated by creating a one world government of total human enslavement. So it's like, it's hard to even talk about this without being able to pin down what's on purpose and what's an accident, what's the desired outcome and what's an unfortunate, you know, side effect or consequence. So, like, where do you land on that? Like, the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, the energy restrictions, is this them sort of taking advantage of a situation that developed, or is that the whole point that we went into war with Iran in the first place?
Right. Evidence that the paradigm that I'm using is accurate is that it's very useful in predicting. Like, if somebody uses AI, let's say, in Michael Yonan's Strait of Hormuz, look how many times I've mentioned that in the last 5 or 6 years.
Here. Right.
It's going to be 1,000 more. It's going to be 2,000. I don't even know. I'm constant, because I've been warning that I think that this will be closed. Because I do have a struck, like the screw worms that are making it back to Texas and other parts of the United States now. Misako and I predicted the screw worm thing like 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And I published the email before when I was reaching out to the USDA and all that sort of stuff. I mean, how are we predicting Nord Stream and Groningen being closed and so many other things accurately? And very few misses. What have we missed, actually? I mean, we're throwing darts like 5 years out and hitting in a bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. We're doing it because we know what they're doing. And then we go on the ground and we look, well, if I were them, what would I do? I would take out Nord Stream, right? And so we started, you know, we looked at Nord Stream quite a lot. We went over to Germany several times. We went to BASF plant twice, which is in 1914 where they started making nitrogenous fertilizers using natural gas, the Haber-Bosch process, right? That was September 26, 2022, is that gas boiling up from the Baltic there, right? In fact, I had bought an extra iPad that all that iPad did was watch the cubic meters per second flowing through Nord Stream 1 and 2, because it was a website. You could monitor the flows, and at one point it went to zero. All the readouts went to zero. And I said, Misako, check it out. All the readouts, the cubic meters per second, are reading zero at Nord Stream 1 and 2. And restarted everything. Then I turned on the TV, which is pretty rare for me, and I saw what you're seeing there now. You know, the boiling up from the sea. They had blown it up. You know, often people have asked me who blew up Nord Stream, and I'm like, well, that's pretty easy. It was either the United States or space aliens, but that's about
right.
It. You know, but there's still a lot of Germans think it was the Russians. You can't make up this stuff. I mean, brainwashing is very effective.
Didn't they convict a Ukrainian guy in Germany for it? Like, there's some update where they're like, yeah, we got the guys that did it. Don't worry about it. They're in jail now. I was like, it was totally like covered up and silenced. I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but I thought they convicted a person.
Yeah, they talked about Ukrainians and convicting now, but it was 100% United States did it.
Right.
I mean, of course we use proxies all the time. I mean, our government was bragging about it in advance. But when I did a Carver matrix, all the CIA operational guys and Green Berets know what I'm talking about. And I think the SEALs will know too. I did a Carver matrix for Europe. Like, a Carver matrix is a targeting matrix when you're trying to select your targets in a sabotage campaign, right? So when you're doing a sabotage campaign, you need to first figure out, what is the commander's intent? What does the commander want to achieve? Do we want to shut down this train for 8 hours, for 8 days, for 8 months? You know what I mean? Do we want to shut, you know, this fertilizer plant down forever? Well, that would be fire, right? If you're going to do. And so you do what's called a Carver matrix. Carver is a planning tool that was designed maybe in the 1950s, but it's criticality, accessibility, recuperability, vulnerability, effect, and recognizability. So when you're trying to make your campaign on how you're going to make this thing happen, you will grade your targets on a Carver matrix. So I did one of those. knowing that they want to create global famines, knowing that they want to do a population reduction. I thought, well, let's see. Carver Matrix, Europe. I spent a lot of time in Europe. I would take out BASF. I would take out Germany. I would take out Germany. If I were going to take out Germany, I would take out BASF. I would take out Nord Stream, right? So I mean, this is after just grading it on the car. I would take out Groningen gas field in Netherlands, which they did. So I was predicting these way in advance that they're going to take out both of those and do all kinds of other things, take down fertilizer plants, and they're doing it all.
And you're able to predict it. You're able to predict it because you start off with the premise that they're trying to create a global famine. And once you start with that and you go, how would I achieve that? And suddenly everything is following that script exactly. If you'd started off by saying they want to defeat Russia in a war, what would I do to defeat Russia in a war? It'd be a completely different list. They're not doing any of those things. They're doing all the things that lead to global famine, which means that's their ultimate goal, obviously. Now this just broke, and I want to get your response to it, and we'll continue on the other side of the commercial break, but from Zero Hedge, U.S. to order 3,082nd Airborne Soldiers to Mideast. Tehran appoints Larijani successor, cuts gas flows to Turkey. So the Wall Street Journal and Fox are reporting 3,000 elite army airborne soldiers have been ordered to the Middle East. Back channel Diplomacy versus Skepticism, Abbas Araghchi reportedly signaled openness to negotiations with the U.S. via envoy Steve Witkoff, but Israel has appeared cool on prospects or off-ramps. Heavy exchange of fire and testing red lines. Iran continues missile and drone waves targeting Israel and U.S. bases amid reports of overnight airstrikes on military and gas infrastructure near Isfahan. So it appears as though 3,000 elite army airborne soldiers have been ordered to the Middle East. I guess that's in addition to the 5,000 Marines. I mean, what do you think the likelihood is that we get a real boots-on-the-ground Vietnam-style, can't use the word I'm thinking of, a cluster mess in Iran? I mean, what do you think the likelihood is as we see more numbers of thousands of troops moving to that region?
I would say very high. And I'm not going to say because it's stupid to do that, because if their plan is to get them killed, if that's their plan to draw us deeper into war, well, I mean, that's what you would do, right?
Right.
So is that stupid? No, it's evil. It's straight up evil. But is that stupid? I mean, look at that headline you just read. I mean, cut gas to Turkey. I mean, every time you see one of these cuts, gas, cuts, oil, infrastructure blown up, this is food. Just think,
yep,
reduced food supply, right? And so I think that they will actually kill the Marines off. If you put those Marines on Karg Island or the 82nd, they'll be killed. I mean, I'm not sure how you would pull this off actually and get those guys back alive. The Iranians are probably like, well, bring it on. I mean, that'll be where they die, right?
Right.
They'll have those, they'll just missile the heck out of them, right? Or however they do it. The Iranians, the Persians are very smart people. Nobody to be trifled with, right? But this is a big war. It's been going on for a very, very long time. Long before our great grandparents were born, this was already going on. One of the books in my private library is from the 1700s, and it's about a British guy doing reconnaissance from, you know, through that area, through Persia and Caspian and all that. They're talking about the same stuff then as they do now. Now, when it comes to depopulations using famines, that's an old weapon of war. At some point you should visit me in Japan. I'll take you into my personal library. It's a war library and there's no books on guns. There's no books on submarines. It's all about food. It's all about demographic warfare. It's all about information war, intoxicants, music, anthropological warfare, museum, all kinds. It's a very extensive library, but it's not about the kininergy and how to use famine to wipe people out. My library is mostly very old books, so this has been going on for a long time, right?
Nothing new under the sun. I'm sorry, we got to go to a quick commercial break. I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off, but this is a hard break. We got to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back on the other side with Michael Yon to talk about this old strategy in its modern context. Stay with us.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex Jones. Folks, I do want to tell you real quickly to go to thealexjonesstore.com. There's actually a special offer today. You get a free limited edition InfoWars shirt when you start a monthly product subscription today. This is it. We have the biggest version ever to show you. The InfoWar lives forever. It's the classic picture of the Marines raising the InfoWars flag. It says InfoWars lives forever with the InfoWars logo on there. The only way you can get this shirt is by signing up for a monthly subscription to one of our incredible products, which means you're also getting a massive discount. It also means that if the product sells out, we always hold back certain products to fulfill the pre-orders. So you'll always get your product, even if we sell out. The offer to get this fantastic free shirt ends on Friday and only exists while supplies last. So go today to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off VIPs for the new iodine T3 liquid iodine tincture. 50% off for VIPs, 30% off for everybody else. And folks, this is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Shelby Mustang GT500 and the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. For every $1 you spend, you get 100 times entries to win both. So basically every cent you spend on the Alex Jones Store, you get an entry to win one of these cars. And you're entered to win both for this week only. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. It's like a million different ways. The great products, you support us and keep us on the air, and you're entered to win two different trucks, plus $20,000, plus you get a free t-shirt, plus it's on massive discount, plus you're helping to build up InfoWars into our next and even greater stage of the future. So go to thealexjonesstore.com today to support us. My guest is Michael Yon. You can follow him on X at Michael_Yon. That's Michael_Y-O-N. And MichaelYon.com is his website. We're talking about the Iran war and the downstream effects and the scarcity that will come about because of it. Again, the parallels to COVID are very obvious. Where do you think this goes from here? What do you think is next for the Iran war? Are we just going to get deeper and deeper? Or is there any chance at all that we'll be able to break this cycle of retribution and bring about peace? I mean, what's your prognosis at this point?
Yeah, I'm not seeing like retribution going on. I'm seeing it's basically the way I've been predicting it. This is staged. I mean, this is a destruction of energy and food supply wholesale. That thing you just saw at Port Arthur in Texas, that's probably part of it. Now, there's always going to be level X. There are stuff. Sometimes things do just blow up, you know, even in a war. Sometimes things actually weren't, you know, it's just an actual fire that, you know, it happened because somebody left a lighter on or something. But on whole, we're watching the architecture being disassembled, right? We're watching. This is why I think that you're probably going to see some interruption in Panama. I think that there'll be an interruption in Suez and other places in like Turkish Strait as an example. Turkish Strait, a lot of the fertilizer flows out of the Turkish Strait, you know, because the Ukrainian and Russian fertilizer flows through there, right? So there's these certain chokeholds that if you just choke these bad boys off and they're doing it, you know, they're in a position. It's not difficult. Actually, there's many ways to do this that take very little effort. Sea mines actually is one, or just the threat of sea mines. These sea mines are pretty incredible, actually. And just the threat actually is enough. We've just seen that with Hormuz, right? And so again, they're destroying each, and I think it's probably a matter of time until they destroy each other's desalinization plants, because they're actually disassembling the GCC countries, right? And I spent a lot of time in that area, actually. I got those two Iraqi platforms, ABOT and KAOT. I was actually out on those platforms. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff firsthand. I've been over there quite a lot. But you can see it's quite – these countries like Kuwait or UAE, which I've always really liked, UAE and Bahrain. I've been to all these. I've been to Fifth Fleet headquarters. Secretary Gates picked me up in Afghanistan, Secretary of Defense, and took me and introduced me to the commander, Admiral Gortney, at the 5th Fleet headquarters there in Bahrain. I've seen all this stuff, right? Been there, Qatar, all that stuff. And what's interesting is these countries are actually sort of synthetic countries, right? They were created so that we could keep that energy flowing. And as you know, the Strait of Hormuz, with that closed, it's also closing food going into those countries. If the desalinization plants or just enough of the energy is hit, the desalinization plants will stop working. But if you hit those plants directly, the water's just not there. And so you could actually end up having a lot of people die very quickly that can't get out in time because, you know, those places are straight up hardcore deserts. And so, and I think that they'll probably go for it. You may see the same happen in Israel. Now, keep in mind, this is important. I put this on X today and Patrick Byrne was asking me, publicly on my ex about, you know, why I thought the Zionists would kill Jews in Israel, right? That's pretty obvious. I mean, the Zionists killed the first Jew that I know of in Israel in 1924, right? He was that Dutch poet, right? They killed him. And I mean, the Zionists and Jews have been killing each other since day one. But, right. But what I'm getting to is Israel itself. Look at October 7th. October 7th was a clear, what's called a green flag, and also a staked goat attack. That was clearly, a staged attack, killing all those people for causes belli to clear out Gaza. Then you can get that gas off of the energy off of Gaza. You can build the Ben Gurion Canal, which has been a dream for a very long time. The reason that Israel even exists is the same reason that those other countries in the Gulf exist. They're synthetic countries to control routes and resources.
Right.
Every war you've ever heard of in your whole life revolves around routes, resources, and ideology. Not ideology is not always involved, but often it is, right? And so there's Patrick Byrne talking there. And JBS, that's what there says, from JBS, not Michael. JBS is a code name for a Jew behind the scenes. He's an Orthodox Jew. One of my, he's the only person that has access to my Twitter and can publish on there. He just always puts JBS.
Oh,
he's a very
funny.
Effective fighter. He's a former U.S. Army officer.
I thought you were giving a shout out to the John Birch Society.
No. It's actually, we were in Tokyo one time plotting on communist China, and he was smoking a cigar sitting in a leather chair. And I said, you know what? Because he's a very effective plotter. And I said, you know what? You really are the Jew behind the scenes, you know? And ever
That's
since
funny.
That, I've called him JBS. So anyway, he's a very good fighter. So we've been fighting communist China for, I don't know, a long time, many years. And so, but you know, he's Orthodox Jew, and he'll probably see this, I imagine. And you know, he and Zionists don't get along, you know,
right.
Zionists and Jews have been killing each other a long time. And you can see that the Zionists actually were working with the Nazis to get Jews out of Europe and into, or the Germans just wanted them out of Germany, but they didn't actually want to kill the Jews until, you know, things got advanced. But the Zionists were killing a lot of Jews to get them to leave Europe and get them over to Israel. Now, keep in mind, Israel only exists because the Suez Canal was created in 1869. Now, Panama only exists because the Panama Canal, we needed to make the Panama Canal, and Panama was part of Colombia at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So we actually created Panama in 1903, November 3rd, 1903, to create the Panama Canal. So those two countries, Israel and Panama, those two countries exist because of canals, actually.
Hmm.
And they're both strategically located, even if they didn't have canals. Or, you know, Suez Canal is obviously, and they want to build the Ben Gurion Canal through Israel and wanted to do that for a long time, not to mention the Indo-European corridor, which will go right through Israel. This would make Israel one of the most important places on earth. At the moment, arguably the most, and not a big argument, the most important place on earth is Strait of Hormuz. And
right.
It has been for a long time. That's why I constantly talk about it over the years. And I thought that it would be shut down in service to creating global famines. And now I think what we'll end up seeing is the countries in the Gulf states probably will actually be effectively destroyed. Now this sets up Israel or the people, whoever are left. Now keep in mind, Zionism and Judaism are not the same thing. Full stop, period. Jews kill each other. Jews and Zionists kill each other all the time. And they have been doing that for more than a century, right? Now, there are some Jews that are Zionists. Most Zionists are actually Christian Zionists. And then there's atheist Zionists. And there's even some Muslim Zionists. Many of those are Kurds, actually, whom I've spent a lot of time with. But anyway, not to go into that. But the point is that the Zionists also want control of Israel. But a lot of the Israelis are in the way. That's what Patrick Byrne is, you know, put his questions on my Twitter today or my ex today when I said that, you know, I would not be surprised to see, the Zionist forces also use Israel and get, you know, basically because clean out the Israelis that are causing problems for the Zionists, which a lot of those are Jews, right?
Right.
A lot of them are Muslims and Christians.
Well,
but
it's
they
not,
can
it's
clear
not just,
those.
It's not just that. You know, we were commenting yesterday of, you know, the destruction in Israel and people were saying, wow, maybe this will make Israelis, you know, question the actions of their government. But we know that like when, you know, the Jews in Israel suffer, it's actually, you know, draws them closer to the war effort and actually makes them think, okay, absolutely, we should be going to war with Iran. Look at how they're killing us. So it's this, it's a feedback loop that they've developed where the consequences of the Zionist expansion and brutality falls on the Jews, and it actually psychologically brings them closer to the Zionists.
Right. And so, but this is an ongoing fight with Jews and Zionists, right? Many Jews will say, I mean, you can't say Zionist without these, a lot of the Jews saying, hey, those are not Jews, right? And they're not. It's just a political party, right? Again, the Zionists back in the Nazi time, Zionists and Nazis were openly cooperating with each other. It wasn't even hidden, right? I mean, Jewish partisans were killing Zionists, and Zionists were killing Jews. And Zionists were killing Jews to make Jews leave Europe to go over to Palestine, right? I've actually got one of the original 1899 bonds. It's a share warrant, actually, for it was, and Theodore Herzl's name is the first one on there on the, but anyway, it was this, the British were behind helping the Israelis, or let's say helping the Zionists take Palestine.
The Rothschilds in particular.
When the Suez Canal opened, that was the spinal cord, as they used to call it at the time, of the British Empire. The British Empire was the biggest empire, the most powerful in the world at that time, right? And some of the Brits were like, man, if they open that canal up, we could lose our perch, right? So there were some of the, especially some of the English were like, no, don't let them open the canal. But it was open. And so, and they thought that the naysayers were like, no, Egypt will take the canal. And they did. Egypt did take the canal. And so, everything's played out as things would. And so now, the British Empire obviously is effectively gone. In fact, Misako, my wife and I were in that giant mosque in London a few years ago. It was huge. They're effectively gone. And now, but again, why does Israel even exist? It existed. It was created by British, and finally the Americans took the baton, to create, and they used Zionists to do it. Now, a lot of times the Zionists were puppets. But the puppet often grows big, and those strings go both ways, right? So, and sometimes the puppet pulls down the puppet master, and now the puppet master, when you look at Pinocchio, is one of the most best-selling books of all time, by the way. I've got one of the originals in Japan. That book, I think, resonates so much because most people can see, hey, I'm a puppet sometimes, and sometimes I'm the puppet master, right? What did Pinocchio do? When Pinocchio was made, he was going to be a table leg, but the carpenter started to, that thing's alive. So Pinocchio, what did Pinocchio do when he was made into a doll? He attacked the guy who made him. The first person he attacked was the guy who made him, Charlie Kirk, right? So the first, when you're in special forces, every Green Beret that's gone through the sort of training I went through back then, I don't know what they do now, but we went through unconventional warfare training quite a lot, right? And so there are seven phases of a U.S.-sponsored unconventional war. The seventh phase is what's called demobilization. And that's when you raise up an army or you raise up a fighting force and you employ them in combat and hopefully achieve objectives that you wanted to achieve. But then at the end, you have to demobilize those guys, right?
You spike the cannon.
Hey, give up your guns. Yeah, that's when the Green Berets get killed, right? So that's when you try to get the guns back, right? That's when you try to get them to go, okay, go back and be a farmer again. They're like, actually, I'm a captain and I've got a unit here and you're dead, right?
Right.
And so that's what often happens. The puppet outgrows the master, right? Or it just gets out of control. That's very common, actually.
Well,
that's the most dangerous phase.
The classic Jewish fairy tale of the golem. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? You create a puppet to serve you, and it becomes more powerful and turns on you. I mean, it's the Sorcerer's Apprentice. This is a classic trope in storytelling across the world for good reason. You're exactly right. On the topic of Green Berets and Joe Kent's resignation. What is your take on that? And what is it about Green Berets that, you guys seem to be like the crucial movers, these days? People who went through Green Beret training, it must have taught you something important. What is your take on Joe Kent, former Green Beret, quitting in resignation in protest of the war in Iran? Have you been able to read his letter and look into what he's been saying?
Yeah, I messaged him and I messaged him, well done. He responded, actually, and then I responded with something else. But the, he's on a, anyway, I won't go into that. But the bottom line is that but Joe Kent, I think he did the right thing resigning. I watched the Tucker interview, and I watched it in detail. It was quite interesting. I mean, this is big time serious, obviously. Let's see how this plays out. The war is far from over. It's only going, in my view, I think the war will increase. And remember, if you want to be the greatest war predictor in the world, just remember these three things and you'll sound like Nostradamus. Just say, I think the war's going to grow and you're going to be so smart when they grow. And I think it's going to get out of control and it's going to go directions that nobody ever imagined. And then you're going to end up being right again, you know, because these are complex systems of complex systems. And then it's going to last longer than anybody expected, right? If you predict those three things, it's going to grow. It's going to become very unpredictable and it'll last longer than anybody expected. You're going to sound like Nostradamus. And that's what this will do.
Yeah. And, it's funny. I've been saying that a lot. And it's like, if you want to just be absolutely confident that 20 years from now, you're going to be able to look back and go, I was right. You're going to be able to look back and feel totally comfortable with the choices you made and the arguments you were having. Be against the war. That's just be against the war. Be suspicious of everything they're saying, because, you know, it feels good to look back and go, hey, we were right about Iraq and we were right about Afghanistan. Turns out we were right the entire time. And right now, a lot of people are making the mistake that they made back then, and we're going to keep our same stance as we did back then. And 20 years from now, we'll be looking back and saying, it's unfortunate, but we told you so. This was a complete disaster. I think you're exactly right. So where does it go from here? And what is your take on, especially Joe Kent's, you know, assertion that Israel got us into this war? Obviously, I think Marco Rubio said that. Trump said that. I think it's fairly obvious that was the impetus behind the Iran attack, but people are very angry at him for saying that. I mean, what do you think Israel's role in the federal government is at this point?
Well, they've done a very good job of setting up puppets as well. I mean, so they were the puppet that became the puppet master, which is, again, this is a normal life cycle. That's why those stories resonate so much, because we do all see this in daily life. And eventually the Zionists will come and go like these structures do, and then some other structure will evolve, right? Right now, actually, it looks like the popularity of the Zionists is going out. And the cloak, the invisibility cloak of, like, you can't say that, it's anti-Semite, that doesn't work anymore. It's actually blowing up in their faces, actually. It's actually very detrimental to their argument. Actually, Einstein wrote in 1946? I've got the letter. You can find it online. Einstein was Jewish. And Einstein was warning about the Zionists. You should see that letter. Just look up Einstein, Zionist in letter, and you'll see he's like, their tactics, you know, basically they're terrorists, hardcore terrorists. I mean, those were the guys sponsoring Al-Qaeda, right? And we were sponsoring them, sponsoring Al-Qaeda. And we talk about these, I was just on a private chat with some people earlier this evening about the EFPs, the explosively formed projectiles in Iraq, right? I spent 2 years in Iraq and I researched those EFPs quite a lot. One of the ambushes I was in had more than 30 EFPs, killed the guys in the vehicle behind me. And I was in the lead vehicle on point. We didn't get hit. Unarmored vehicle, didn't touch us, killed the guy in the armored vehicle. Or a armored vehicle, there's a lot of them. But anyway, there was like 30-something EFPs that day. But those EFPs, they kept saying that these are from Iran. There's these high-tech devices and these sorts of things. But keep in mind, when I went through Green Beret training, I learned how to make an EFP in less than a day. I mean, I think somebody who can do just basic, like, sixth-grade algebra can learn how to – they're not high-tech. You can learn how to make one of those in, I don't know, a few hours, really. And so it's not, there's nothing high tech about it at all. And so, but the point is I was all up and down the Iraq-Iran border. I was with British forces. I was with Iraqi forces. I was with U.S. forces and I was with Kurds, right? And I asked many of the leaders, generals and colonels and whatnot, are we catching any EFPs or copper coming, any copper to make? Are we catching any of this stuff coming in from Iran, right? And every one of them was like, no, we've been told to be on the lookout for it, but we don't catch anything. So I was talking with General Petraeus one day up in Baghdad. And I said, you know, I've been all up and down the border, as you know, and nobody has found any of that. But I've been told that the copper is coming from our green zone, from building materials for our embassy and this other stuff in the green zone. The green zone is the international zone, right? So the copper apparently is coming from us, right? So anyway, as time has unfolded over the years, you know, because I was out with some of these top Zionists like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I was running around with Paul Wolfowitz having dinner with him and that sort of stuff.
Wow.
I mean, I was out with these guys a lot, right? And back then, I was unaware of the game, actually. And I was actually very pro-Israel up until the years unfolded. And I started seeing more and more things. I'm like, what's going on here? You know what? This isn't – because I was raised basically as a Christian Zionist, right?
Right.
Not that we were ever call ourselves that. It was just like a natural thing. Of course we're going to defend Israel, right? They're our greatest ally, right?
Right.
Then as time goes on and I'm in the wars and I'm in Afghanistan for 2 years as well, Iraq 2 years and other places, and eventually I'm like, something's not right here. This stuff, this equation, that does not equal that.
Right.
That does not equal our best ally, right? All these things does not equal best ally, right?
Right.
You know, and at some point, you know, I started to realize, in fact, this is a war formation that's actually bleeding us dry.
Right.
And, it took me a long time to actually see these things for what they were. But once you do see it, then it becomes quite obvious. Like, you know, old people warned so many times about, you know, USS Liberty and those sorts of things. And yeah, and they were true. I mean, the Israelis did hit the USS Liberty and there were so many other things. And so at the end of the day, that was the Zionist war, you know, nurtured and created to create Israel for control of the Suez Canal, right? Mm. And later for other things. And then the puppet grew and it grew and it grew and it became more and more powerful. And it is what it is now. But now it's reached its apogee of power. It appears clear to me anyway. It appears that the rocket has reached the top and it's starting to tip over. I think the luster has run off with, for instance, Israel. Many people who used to be former strong supporters like me. I remember Israelis calling me Zionist years ago.
Right.
You know, I would travel with them in India and Nepal and places like that. And I enjoyed traveling with Israelis. And but they would say, you know, you're a Zionist. And I had to actually study up and see what they were talking about. And I was. I was so pro-Israel. But then again, over time, I changed my views. And so I'm done now.
Well, and I think a lot of people, I've seen people go through that process where, you know, and after October 7th, I was saying, well, this is, you know, the consequence of what Israel does to Palestinians. And I'd have people say, no, you're, you know, you're Hamas or whatever. And now those same people are very much on my side. So, you know, it's taken a long time, but I think the truth about our relationship is, between America and Israel is finally coming to light. And I think you're exactly right in the way that you characterize it as, the puppet has become the puppet master. And, I guess taking that metaphor, it's time to cut the strings, in my opinion. We can be a real boy again. Mike Leon, thank you so much for bringing your incredible expertise and experience to the floor. You can follow Michael Yon at Michael_Yon@MichaelYon.com. Thank you so much for being with us here today, sir.
Thank you, Harrison, and I hope to come on again sometime.
Hopefully so. Hopefully it won't be. I think the last time you were on, I was sitting in this chair. It was October 9th, 2023. So hopefully next time we talk, it won't be in the midst of a giant catastrophe in the Middle East. But there you go. There you
hopefully
go.
We'll turn out very, very wrong. Then I'll
Wouldn't
be
that be great? Like, wouldn't you love to be wrong, Michael? God, I really hope that we're just a bunch of dummies up here just being wrong about everything because it's not looking good, folks. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Third hour is on for this Tuesday broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'm going to go to a song here, a little ditty. What I would consider, I mean, this is like the modern version of whatever, you know, protest song they were singing in, you know, whatever. In the 60s, they're singing about hammers or something. I don't know. But like the 60s, it was a time of great cultural flourishing in America. Great songs being made, often having to do with social issues or the Vietnam War. Protest songs became, you know, really symbolic of that whole era. And I want to reclaim that. I want to recapture that. And I think that's what we need here. We need these ideas that we talk about to be spread through popular culture. And Crack Amico is a rapper who does just that. Here is his latest from Crack Amico. You can find it on YouTube. Epstein Amnesia. Let's watch.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
I know you mugs are gonna start emails. I know you mugs are gonna start Epstein files. Trafficking them underage females. Then he died in prison, but it wasn't suicide. You just gotta look into the details. You'll see that the government protecting these guys who participated in it, so they pump you with the slop until your goy brain's fried. To give us all Epstein amnesia. Gorge yourself on all these lies they feed you. Trying to give us all Epstein amnesia. Now's the time to take down all our leaders. Now, but first we gotta talk about the Minnesota daycares. What about the kids that they was trafficking at Wayfair? Wait, where my point go? I'm over inundated from the media. The Merley Life Wikipedia people sure don't play fair. Cause I can't read the evidence through all the fingerprints. And how the fuck is Kurt the only guy that's making sense? I wanna make a difference with the facts I keep forgetting. Plus an A, I took my job, so how am I supposed to pay the rent? Wait, back to the topic we were talking about Iran, right? Man, this is crazy, almost crazy as them damn ice agents chasing aliens and immigrants. I need the neuralizer to relieve me of my give a shit. I lost my point, I need to open up my third eye. I just remembered I forgot that Charlie Kirk died. Quirk bright, shooting pyrotechnics out of her thighs. Stir fry my brain till I forget about the worst guys. Wait, were we supposed to talk about some emails? Remember the ones from the Epstein guy? Think he did something bad to females. Then he died in jail, but I don't remember why. Just a little fuzzy on the details. But ain't no way the government protecting these guys who participated in it, so just pump me with the slop because my goy brain's fried. Hope I don't got Epstein amnesia. I spend too much time on social media. Hope I think I got Epstein amnesia. Think it might be time to take a breather. Nah, fuck that shit. Let's talk about Jeff. The pedophile sex and the babies getting chef. And don't forget the most important part of this shit. Whose side you about to pick? The right or the left? I swear I had a point, but all of a sudden I forget. Cause I just found out black people don't believe in Tourette's. Oh shit, I just want to goon to some AI sex. Who does Jake fight next? I got that what's his name? Amnesia. We'll just save the world at our own leisure. Let's hit TGI for steak for heaters. Then I got two front row seats for Chris D'Elia.
What were we talking about?
Incredible stuff. Crack Amico, folks. Crack Amico. Do not be distracted. Keep your eye on the ball, folks. Again, just great stuff. And then on top of that, you've got the I Can't Even video that we showed earlier. There's, and look, you might scoff at this, but this is what breaks through, folks. These types of, like, the rap songs, the Tom McDonald's, the, you know, AI creations that put thing in a digestible format that you don't need to be lectured to. It just needs to be displayed. It just needs to be put out there for people to make the connections in their own mind, and they will. And they'll come over to our side slowly but surely. We are winning the battle of the information war. We are winning people's minds through work like that. So well done, Crack Amico, another masterpiece on our hands. And we're not suffering from Epstein amnesia.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
On the march, the Empire is on the run. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show, coming to you live this Tuesday, 24th of March, 2026. Final hour, I'll be with you, then Patrick Byrne will be taking over, then of course the War Room after that, Infowars.com/show, band.video. Thank you so much for sharing those links, sharing the information. Heck, take the videos down, upload them yourself, just get the information out there however you can. Of course, please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Right now you get a free limited edition Infowars t-shirt if you sign up for a monthly product subscription. That sale ends Friday. But you get this very cool, the InfoWar Lives Forever t-shirt. I think the only way you can get it is by getting it through this offer. I'm not sure this is even for sale. You can only get it by signing up for the monthly delivery of your favorite supplement from thealexjonesstore.com. So again, it's a great supplement at massive discount. You get it monthly delivered, so we never run out. You never run out of the product that you need. Plus, you're entered to win both of the incredible cars, the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 and the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. Somebody's got to win it, folks. And that somebody is almost certainly listening to my voice right now. Somebody out there has got to win these cars. We got to give them to somebody, and it's going to be somebody who goes to thealexjonesstore.com. Every purchase you make at thealexjonesstore.com, you're entered to win 100 times entries for every dollar you spend, and you can win either the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 or the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. And this week is that crossover week where you're entered to win both, not just one or the other, but both. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Somebody's got to win it. Might as well be you, thealexjonesstore.com, to support us, of course. Now, we can continue to talk about the war in Iran. I mean, most of this show, I've just been talking about the secondary effects, the, you know, long-term food and fuel shortages as a consequence of continuing this asinine nonsense in the Middle East. I could get into a lot of other stuff about the Iran war. I'm going to take a quick break from that here to talk about a bunch of other stuff that's going on that's equally, if not possibly more important, including the fact that the Treasury just declared that the U.S. is insolvent for the first time ever. That seems like it should be a major topic of conversation, but it's not. So we'll get to a lot of non-war topics in this segment, and then I am going to show you a few clips and talk about the Joe Kent interview with Mark Levin yesterday. And I, like a saint, have suffered for you, the audience. I have tortured myself by actually subjecting my own beautiful ears to the voice of Mark Levin for damn near an hour yesterday. So you're welcome, okay? I did it, I endured it, and I will show you the clips from that utterly despicable, high-pitched, squeaky, demanding, condescending little goblin, Mark Levin. So I'm not going to let that go to waste. I didn't watch an episode of Mark Levin for nothing. I'm going to turn it into content here by showing you clips from it and talking about the absurd positions he holds and the disgusting way he promotes them. So we will be getting into that as well. Stay tuned. I will not be polite about it. But I want to go first to a little bit of a longer video. Clip number 10 here. This story first published earlier this week, and we haven't covered it yet, but I think this video does a great job of breaking down exactly what happened. It's the fact that the CIA under Joe Biden was classifying motherhood as terrorism. And no, I'm not exaggerating even a little bit. Let's watch clip number 10 here. This is the revelation of what the CIA was categorizing people promoting motherhood as, why they were calling them terrorists. But I think you already know. But let's watch anyway.
So it turns out that for some years now, the CIA was monitoring people who promote traditional motherhood as people who might also be promoting racially and ethnically motivated violent extremism. Apparently this program has just been stopped, but for basically the past 5 years, they consider the promotion of traditional motherhood to be a radicalization pathway. That's because during the last administration, they had this whole strategy for countering domestic terrorism, and they have this concept of a whole of society approach. So the idea with this here was that because certain extreme groups and influencers talked about the value of motherhood, part of the whole of society approach was that motherhood and people who talked about motherhood needed to be monitored. It made me wonder about, I don't know if you remember this Ballerina Farms thing and this whole like trad wives controversy. And one thing that's tricky about a whole of society approach where the CIA is monitoring traditional motherhood as a radicalization pathway is that actually very mainstream publications like the Wall Street Journal frequently talked about how population decline is a big problem for society. And to me, honestly, being real about it, it makes me think about how these big expensive government programs can just be so wasteful and silly. Like here they talk about how motherhood is a palatable way to make vulnerable individuals who would otherwise be hesitant to join a movement. So is this the idea, CIA, that traditional motherhood is manipulative? I mean, and some of the research that they relied on for the CIA creating this program is like this one, this paper called Shieldings of Whiteness. And I have no idea who the influencer is that's the subject of this research, but this paper says that she talked about how a woman's power can be amplified if you have a strong partner, and that a woman's role as a life giver gives her power. And then this researcher labels it alt maternalism. And what's worse, it appears from this that the CIA was spending their resources monitoring messaging campaigns that highlighted that motherhood can lead to poor treatment of women and limit their authority. So now the CIA is involved in social engineering against motherhood. And this becomes part of the administration's shared understanding of domestic terrorism. So moms can be potential domestic violent extremists. And it looks like we were spending taxpayer dollars on monitoring this narrative abroad, when in fact, in the past, we have had our government work with moms to like send letters to the Russians saying that everybody cares about their kids. Whenever the government is involved in monitoring narratives about like motherhood, it makes me think that the federal government is too big and has too much of my money.
Yeah, that's not the issue. I hate to say it. You know, this is one of those things where
I get it. It, you know, the guy's like laughing the whole time. I don't know. I'm a pretty jocular guy. I kind of see the humor in everything. But no, this is very sinister. Like, this is not funny. It's not like this was them just like, oh, we have too much money and we have to try to figure out where to put it. No, this is a very sinister and highly sophisticated psychological operation to destroy humanity. It's not a coincidence that at the same time that they're running, I mean, think about what he just said. The United States government was running counter-programming operations, counterintelligence operations against motherhood, the concept of being a mother. Okay? That's, you're the bad guys. Just, bar none, you are the bad guys if you're trying to turn people away from motherhood. Like, that's as far as we really need to take it, is just the understanding that they were actively campaigning against the very concept of motherhood. They're the bad guys. We don't really need to talk about it anymore. But when you understand that this was specifically focused on white women, obviously, just like you always see any advertisement for, well, advertisements for anything almost never include white people, unless they're advertisements for like birth control, or unless you see a newspaper article about how dangerous and, you know, negative it is for the earth to have children. Then you'll see white people depicted and it'll be focused on them. Obviously, they don't have a problem with the birth rates of anybody else and the motherhood of anybody else. This was all part, this is why they were going after mothers and parents who went to school board meetings. They called them terrorists. It is a deliberate communistic programming technique to separate children from their parents and to degrade the birth rate of the native population, because the native population of America and Europe in particular are white people with a cultural and perhaps even genetic predisposition to freedom and liberty, and not to allow themselves to be taken advantage of nearly to the degree that people who grew up in the third world, surrounded by total poverty, are very easy to control by giving them just an upgrade from their previous life, whereas that massive upgrade to the third worlder would be seen as a major downgrade to the first worlder. They want to eliminate the Western population of white people and replace them with people who are easier to control and easier to satisfy with, you know, minimal physical comforts. That is the plan. That's the operation. It's not a coincidence that they're simultaneously running depopulation programs through our governments to minimize the birth rate in any possible way. And there's some bizarre kind of like side effect processes that go on. And again, I'm not even sure if this is deliberate, but I have a hard time not believing it's deliberate. Things like this. Car seats as contraception. This is a study that was done in 2020 by the University of Washington. And basically it shows that laws mandating the use of child car safety seats significantly reduces birth rates. As many cars cannot fit three child seats in the back seat, women with two children younger than their state's age mandate have a lower annual birth probability of 0.73 percentage points. This effect is limited to third child births, households with access to a car, and households with a male present where both front seats are likely to be occupied. We estimate that these laws prevented 57 children's car crash fatalities in 2017, but prevented 8,000 births that year and 145 births since 1980. So by mandating child car seats, they calculated that this likely prevented 8,000 children from dying. Okay, and that was the point, right? It's unsafe for children to be in cars without car seats. To save their lives, we need car seats. 8,000 children were, or I'm sorry, I swapped them up. 57 children were prevented from dying. 57 children had their lives saved by the car seat demand. 8,000 live births were prevented in that same year. 57 children survive a car crash they wouldn't have otherwise, but 8,000 children aren't born because of just that little change in behavior. And if you have kids, I mean, this is a serious consideration. I mean, you will, I mean, it's like bad, right? Like you'll be charged with like child endangerment if you don't put your kid in a car seat. Like you have to, or they'll not just give you a ticket. Like it could be bad. So you have to do it. And car seats don't fit three, like you have to actually take that into consideration. And so all over the country, there are parents sitting there going, we have two kids, we want a third. Okay, to get a third, we're going to have to get a minivan okay, to get a new car, we're going to have to make more money. Okay, so I guess we'll save up for 6 months. Maybe we'll try to buy a new car because, literally, because of the laws, you need a new car. Like, if you can't fit three car seats in, you can't drive anywhere. You can't take your kids anywhere, or else you have to take two cars everywhere. I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. But, like, all of these things compound. Think about the fact that, you know, the ravages of feminism have left, you know, mothers and fathers working full time. That, you know, a lot of times the almost entire wage the mom is earning is going towards child care to make up for the fact that you can't be there with your kid. The delaying of having kids because college is a necessity now, going to university, that's going to push it back like 4 years. Then you have just the endless outpouring of propaganda, demonizing motherhood continuously. Like, if we were in a real country, we would see the opposite. The CIA would be hunting down and trying to stop anybody who's against motherhood. Like, that's crazy. That's like an attack on our fundamental humanity. Why are people allowed to continually put out propaganda? I mean, there was a article yesterday or the day before, I think it was from, you know, BBC or something, and it was just like, you know, meet the women who regretted ever having kids. It's like, you're writing articles about moms saying, I wish I'd never had children. They have children. Children that at some point in their lives might read this article. Like, what is wrong with you people? It's so sick and bizarre. And of course, it's all 100% anti-white, right? Deliberately lowering white people's birth rates, deliberately lowering their ability to get ahead, deliberately siphoning away their stored generational wealth and handing it over to people that aren't white. I mean, yeah, like a trap you can't escape. Women who regret being mothers. Like, I don't know. I mean, if we're going to get rid of free speech, this is the stuff that shouldn't be allowed. I like free speech. I guess you should be allowed to write that if that's really what you believe. But, you know, if we're going to be concerned about what people are writing, if we're going to be banning certain things from being expressed, I think anybody trying to dissuade people from becoming mothers, like, they're terrorists and they should be stopped, in my opinion, my personal opinion. And so there you have the CIA actively campaigning against the concept of motherhood here in America, because they are evil. And it's not a coincidence that the very same time that all of these programs went into place, all with the direct and really unavoidable result of crushing the birth rate of white people, they say, you have to stop having kids. You have to save the earth to stop having kids. You can't have kids right now. You have to save up more. You can't afford kids right now. Oh, why'd you make everything more expensive? Oh, now the mom and dad both have to work because you wanted to double your tax base. Like, all of this stuff has gone towards utterly destroying our very way of life. And at the exact same time, they're bringing in millions of people because our birth rate isn't high enough to replace us, and our Social Security and retirement scheme is a Ponzi scheme in which you need a constantly growing population to keep it solvent. So they deliberately lower our birth rates, deliberately lower our numbers, and then they say, oh, look, the numbers are low. I guess we have to bring in a million third worlders. Like, if you can't see how obvious this attack is, you're willfully ignorant. I don't believe you. I think you're being blind on purpose. Now, today is the 24th of March, 2026, which means we are now 27 years to the day. It's the anniversary of Bill Clinton's bombing campaign against Serbia. And this post from Mario ZNA on X, I wanted to read to let people know. I mean, if you don't know about this event, it's not one that is talked about a lot. It doesn't hold a major place in the American psyche, but it should. He says this: on this day, exactly 27 years ago, the demonic pedo elite opened the gates of hell. In 1999, I was only 11 years old when that perverted maniac, Bill Clinton, together with the sick degenerates like Tony Blair, decided to bomb and kill my Orthodox Serbian nation, all in the name of radical Islam. More than 20 countries, backed by NATO and the EU, attacked Serbia, the heart of Europe, the first nation in the modern era to stand boldly against the threat of radical Islam. Those who constantly preach about democracy and human rights spent 78 days deliberately murdering civilians, destroying our infrastructure, and trying to crush the spirit of an entire nation.
Today, 27 years later, the world can clearly see that the Serbs were right from the very beginning. As Europe now burns with constant terror attacks, mass stabbings, and daily horrors, as well as native German, French, British, and others can no longer safely walk their own streets, the brutal truth is undeniable. The criminal attack on my homeland was one of the greatest strategic disasters and moral betrayals in the history of the so-called international community. The United Nations has lost all legitimacy. International law has been destroyed. Satan himself struck at the children of Christ. All he managed to do was ignite an even fiercer flame in our hearts. We emerged as some of the hardest and most defiant Christians on the face of the planet. Serbia was not defeated. The real defeat belongs to the pedo regimes of the West. And today, thank God, we are witnessing a powerful awakening of patriots across the same West, people who understand that only by standing together can we save our continent. This is not the fault of the American patriot from Louisiana, the German from Dresden, the Frenchman from Lille, or the Englishmen from Essex. The guilty ones are the globalist traitors who have been destroying their countries, their families, their freedoms, and their children's future. The year 1999 marked the beginning of a nightmare that is engulfing the whole world today. For us Serbs, and for me personally, it became a sacred vow. We will never join NATO, and we will never submit to the failed and corrupt European Union. We will never kneel and become vassals of the sick, corrupt bureaucrats in Brussels. The only leader is Jesus Christ, and before him alone we ever bow our heads. Only with God and united with all European patriots, Serbs, Germans, Hungarians, French, English, and all the rest, we will smash this demonic system and reclaim our future. The fight ahead will not be easy. Many already know that, but there's no other choice. Either we live free in our Europe or we die in the communist Islamic caliphate. We will never surrender. Christ is King. Now, if you remember, the day they opened up the bombing campaign on Serbia was Easter Day. So they bombed an Orthodox Christian country on Easter Day on purpose as a signal to what was unfolding. And I think he's exactly right. That was, if not the first, a very early fusillade, an early bombardment of the globalist control scheme. It's also speculated that Bill Clinton did it to distract from his scandal with Monica Lewinsky, but that's anti-Semitic. But you're anti-Semitic if you say that. So we probably should have known back then. We probably should have realized back then what the actual intent and purpose of the EU would eventually be. Speaking of that, of course, we had the major disaster at Newark Airport yesterday, the crash of a jet into a fire truck. And I mentioned that this has been a scandal that's, you know, long been simmering. The DEI hiring practices at FAA and the tower control systems. Worth noting that the ATC staffing shortage has been more than a decade in the making. This is from Arctotherium 42 on X. Good thing the Obama administration didn't rework the hiring test explicitly to reject qualified white candidates for their race in favor of black candidates who were, quote, bad at science in high school just over a decade ago. Then things would be really bad. Of course, he's being sarcastic because that's exactly what happened. The scandal at the FAA has been moving on a slow burn through the courts for a decade, culminating in a class action lawsuit currently known as Brigida versus Buttigieg, brought by a class who spent years and thousands of dollars in coursework to become air traffic controllers, only to be dismissed by a pass-fail biographical questionnaire with a 90% fail rate, implemented without warning after many of them had already taken and passed a skill assessment. The questionnaire awarded points for factors like lowest grade in high school is science, something explicitly admitted by the FAA in a motion to deny class certification. From there, the NBC FAE sent letters in October and July of 2009 to the FAA administrator and the secretary for the Department of Transportation claiming disparate treatment, adopted a strategic plan of advocating for an affirmative employment, obtaining an independent valuation of hiring and or screening tools, and pursuing litigation, a talking points document pushing the FAA to address diversity and the creation of a group called Team 7. In 2012, Team 7 members met with the secretary of the Department of Transportation, the FAA administrator, and senior FAA leaders to discuss diversity, after which the FAA commissioned a barrier analysis with a number of recommendations. Central to this, the cognitive test posed a barrier for black candidates, so they recommended using a biological test first to maximize diversity, eliminating the vast majority of candidates prior to any cognitive test. So in other words, some group of diversity lobbyists went to the FAA, said there's not enough black people who are passing the test.
The reason for that is because they score lower on cognitive tests. Therefore, they implemented a biographical test, which all that means is they were testing to see whether you were black or not. And if you weren't black, you got cut. 90% of the people who were qualified, who had gone through the work to be air traffic controllers, were cut from contention because they were white. So every plane crash you see, you can lay at the feet of Barack Obama and the diversity drive. Thank you, you absolute murderous scumbags. One day we will be free of your conniving. I promise you, we will.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from TheAlexShowStore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Favorite intro song. This is my favorite intro song to the Alex Jones Show. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. He will return tomorrow. I'll actually be out tomorrow because I'm doing a debate of sorts. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you about it, but it'll be very exciting. And of course, the War Room begins as soon as this program is over. And I know Rob Dew is loaded to bear. Gosh, we still have so much more to talk about. I mean, it was already a sort of like unsustainable amount of news. And then we went to war with Iran. So it's like so much stuff to talk about that I can't even fathom. But I want to use this time to try once again to explain a strategy that has been pursued for the last couple years that is very obvious once you notice it and needs to be confronted and argued back against. The thing is that there's like a hive mind phenomenon that takes place where all these people all say exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, which is what gives it the appearance or characteristics of a conspiracy or some sort of organized fifth column within the United States. And it's things like saying that Judaism is the basis of Western civilization. This is, frankly, an absurd thing to say. I can think of about at least five different ideologies that have had a significant, much more significant impact on the development of the modern Western world. I mean, almost nothing about the West as we know it comes from Judaism. Pretty much nothing. The only thing you could possibly make the case for that would be Christianity, which that's a debate that gets complicated, but didn't really come from Judaism anyway, because Judaism as we know it now didn't exist when Jesus Christ was born. It didn't really develop until several hundred years later with the creation of the rabbinic system and the Talmud and the reformation and reinterpretation of the entire Old Testament in light of the fact that they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. So, okay, you could say Christianity forms the basis for Western civilization. That's true to a very large degree. The amount that is predicated on Judaism is not relevant, really, at all. What's relevant is the Old Testament and seeing the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus Christ, not through the lens of modern rabbinic Talmudic interpretation. So that's kind of ridiculous. No, what is much more actually in line with the Western world as we know it would be things like Nordic chief kings and, you know, the idea of, you know, people like the clan developments in the Norse areas. Like that's what was the foundation of things like common law in Britain. Things like the Magna Carta came about because of the lingering, genetic disposition of the German people to not be subjects to anybody ever, right? And like the more you read about the Vikings and the Norse, it's like, oh, this is where our spirit comes from, obviously. And it's amazing because you can read accounts from the Romans, like Julius Caesar. And he's having problems with the Germans, a lot like the modern globalists are having problems with the Americans. Man, these people just don't know what's good for them. They don't know how to submit to a powerful force. They're crazy. They'll fight to the death for their freedom. What's wrong with these people? Yeah, that's where our spirit comes from. I mean, the Norse, very big impact on like how Americans see the world. It was all English and German people in the beginning. You have Rome obviously serves as a model for our government system and our architecture and our way of viewing the world and the way in which we tried to harness ambition so that that ambition was turned towards the benefit of the state and the people rather than the individual. It's very Roman. So like we're not Judeo-Christian. If anything, we're like Greco-Roman Christian, something like that. Athens has more of an impact on the modern West
than ancient Israel ever did. Their morals are completely at odds with what people in the West believe. And I say all of this because the modern dichotomy that's being pushed is you have Jews and Christians and the West on one side, and you have Islamist and communist on the other side. And this is constantly that dichotomy being pushed because they want you to believe that in order to be a right winger, you have to support Israel. And this is so like backwards and bizarre. And it's honestly just kind of like weird. Like it's discombobulating. Like it's as if they think that supporting Israel is the only thing that matters. And it's the thing that defines your entire political worldview. In other words, it's like, what do I believe? I believe in nation states. I believe in closed borders. I believe in fairly strict gender roles. I believe in Christianity. I believe in, you know, I want mass deportations of everybody who's not an American. I want it to be fairly ruthless. I want increased punishments for crimes of every type. I want all of this. Like, I am on the right just about every topic. I am a right winger to the core, but I'm told I'm a Democrat because I don't support Israel. That's it. That's the only thing. Suddenly I'm a Democrat because I don't support a genocidal ethnostate that despises me. What are you talking about? How is that the one thing that divides us? And I'll explain how this is being utilized and weaponized to create this division, to then utilize the division to play off of one another. It's all in service of the destruction of the United States, obviously. And it's on purpose. It's by design, obviously. Again, obviously. So what they want you to believe is that I'm a left winger because I don't support the Iran war. I don't support Israel at all, even a little bit. I don't think they should exist. I think we should take them over. I think America should literally manage and administrate the entire Middle East. We can, and there's absolutely nothing that could stop us, but we won't. For reasons. For certain reasons. So they want you to think that me, a diehard, lifelong, I can show you essays I wrote in high school about how illegal immigrants needed to be deported. Like this, I've always been like this. They want you to believe that I'm a liberal, I'm a leftist, I'm a communist, because I don't support Israel. Meanwhile, people like David Sacks, people like Peter Thiel, I don't know, all these people that came over to Trump in 2024 that are all progressive Democrats, they're all the real right-wingers. Why? Because they support Israel. Okay, they believe in abortion, they believe in gay rights, they believe in the LGBT rainbow society, they believe in welfare, they believe in, wealth redistribution. They believe in everything that's left-wing, but they support Israel, therefore they're the real Republicans. They're the real MAGA, they're the real conservatives. Do you understand how absurd that claim is? Because it's made constantly, and again, I'll break it down here. Because this goes to Joe Kent and the Levins from the Mark Levin, the smears from the Mark Levins out there. I just used the word Levin as a verb by accident, but it kind of works. You've been Levined. It's when a screechy little goblin lies about you. So he's Levining all over the place about Joe Kent, and basically claiming that he's like a communist or a left-winger because he doesn't support the senseless, retarded attack on Iran by America that is destroying the world as we speak. I want to go to a couple clips from Joe Kent and Mark Levin. We're going to start with just Mark Levin and his intro. It's truly something to behold, and I worry because, to me, hearing Mark Levin speak, like, it's so imminently apparent what he's trying to do, the way that he's saying things. It's just, but it's almost like you have to stop every sentence and go, whoa, 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 let's back up. Let's talk about what the hell he just said. But he just sort of says it and then moves on to the next thing. And for the average listener, it just gets incorporated into the overall, vibe they get from the interview, and it all comports together. I'll explain what I mean. Let's begin the very beginning of this video. This is 2.5 minutes in to the video, so we'll start at that time that I gave y'all earlier. This is Mark Levin introing Joe Kent and talking about the danger that Iran poses in exactly the same language, using exactly the same words as everybody else in the Epstein class, because they all apparently are in a conspiracy together. That's my interpretation. Here's Mark Levin repeating the talking points verbatim that were, delivered to all of the subversive scum like Mark Levin. Let's watch.
Why now? Why not when the war began, what, 3 weeks or so ago? We're in the middle of a war. We have men and women in uniform, as Joe Kent was one time, who are fighting a noble war against a barbaric regime that has killed and maimed thousands of Americans and wants to annihilate us. In fact, the regime has spent 47 years terrorizing us, not Israel, us, the United States. They've tried to kill our president and other high officials. They had a significant role in the 9/11 mass terror attack in our country, which killed 2,977 of our fellow Americans, as it was demonstrated in two lawsuits, Havelish versus Bin Laden and Thomas Burnett Sr. versus the Islamic Republic of Iran. $114 billion in damages was ordered, but of course they won't pay. They killed 241 Marines and sailors and soldiers as they slept in their barracks in Lebanon. They blew up our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, killing over 200. They attacked our Air Force facility at Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia. They built IEDs that killed over 600 of our soldiers, 17% of all U.S. personnel deaths in Iraq. Iran has murdered directly and through surrogates, repeatedly, Americans.
All right, so that was his litany of ridiculous justifications for war. And we could go through each one of those and talk about how it wasn't really Iran that much, actually. I mean, attack on the U.S. Marine barracks, that was a proto-Hezbollah. Hezbollah didn't, officially announce their existence until 1985, but the groups that eventually became Hezbollah would have been responsible for that. They may have received training from Iran, but that was Lebanon. Okay. He says Iran did 9/11. He references two court cases nobody's ever heard of. But what the hell is he talking about? I said last week or on Monday or whenever it was, like, how crazy, how Orwellian is that? That they're taking not just a vague kind of like, I don't know, it's just saying, oh, for 47 years they've been attacking us. They're actually taking the literal exact same attacks that they used to justify war in Iraq, they're using for war in Iran. Who attacked us on 9/11? Well, that's debatable. It certainly wasn't Iran. It certainly wasn't Iraq. It certainly wasn't Afghanistan. I don't remember any Iranians with a moving van dancing and celebrating, being arrested, later admitting they were there to film the event. That was Israelis. That was the IDF that was caught doing that. So, like, this is the I'm telling you, it is beyond Orwellian. But he just sort of said, they had a big part to play in 9/11, killed 2,997 Americans. It's like, what? What are you talking about? The Saudi Arabians had something to do with that. The Israelis had something to do with that. The Americans had something to do with that. What are you talking about? The Iranians had something to do with 9/11. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. They don't care. It was a terrorist attack. Blame it on Iran. It was Iran's fault this time. Depression on climate change. So, like, why not, right? Maybe it was climate change that did 9/11. You got to lock down because climate change did 9/11, and you're an anti-Semite if you disagree. The thing is, all of these talking points are dispensed from a single source called the FDD. This is from Zach Foster on X. Zionist and Israeli leaders have a long history of going against the interests of Jews themselves, of weaponizing Jews and exploiting their J-positive blood to engineer Jewish demographic majority in Palestine. This began after World War II when 35,000 Jews in Palestine applied for repatriation home to Hungary, to Romania, Bulgaria, Greece, Czechoslovakia, Australia, Germany, and Poland. Zionist leaders instigated foreign consular officials to block their exit visas. It's describing this, it lays out this list of supposed attacks on America by Iran. Iran regime's decade of terrorism against American citizens. This was put out by whitehouse.gov, and it says this is a partial record of the Iran regime's blood-soaked war on Americans, and it lists a series of attacks. The ones you just heard Mark Levin list are listed here on the official White House list. The thing is, this list is almost point by point exactly the same list distributed by an organization called the FDD, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. As Sam Parker, at Based Sam Parker on X, puts it, FDD, funded by the same billionaires from the mega group behind Epstein, created the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. It is a pro-Israel, anti-Iran lobbying group. The FDD works in conjunction with the Israeli government, including the ministry. And you can see the top donors include the Brofmans. I believe it also includes there's everybody who donated to Trump and is currently in Trump's inner circle, also donated to the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, which provided this exact list to the White House that they basically reproduced verbatim. That is the same list being produced, being read out by Mark Levin. It's literally Israeli government propaganda. It's what it is. So the Israeli government is putting out propaganda blaming Iran for literally every terrorist attack, and the White House is repeating that verbatim as if they came up with it. As Max Blumenthal puts it, FDD was founded to, quote, enhance Israel's image in North America. It's been described as an Israeli cutout by Israeli intel officer Saima Vaknin-Gil, and it provided the Trump White House with its talking points for the war in Iran, almost word for word. As Zachary Foster puts it, this is wild. The White House plagiarized its reason for launching war on Iran from FDD, a cutout of Israeli intelligence. Side by sides, screenshots show that, yes, point by point, they literally were reissuing just blatant Israeli propaganda. Now, on top of that, as we reported yesterday, according to the State Department's own reporting, their 2022 report on global terrorism, none of the top 10 terrorist groups ranked by fatalities were connected at all to Iran. However, there's evidence that some of them, maybe all of them, have received funding or weapons from Israel or the U.S. through USAID or CIA. And most of them are ISIS, al-Nusra, things like that. So we begin the conversation with Mark Levin just repeating his Israeli talking points about all of the terrorist attacks Iran is responsible for, which happens to be all of them. What do you know? That's ridiculous. Obviously, it's just absurd. And, you know, the most absurd thing about this is that while the Iran war is going on, as we speak, the West Bank settlers in Israel are carrying out pogroms on practically a daily basis, to the point where American officials are having to step up and say something about it. Tebe, the last fully Christian West Bank town, has come under renewed violence from Israeli settlers, with total silence from U.S. officials who have normally rebuked West Bank incursions. The West Bank has been a traditional red line for presidents under President Trump and during the recent military conflicts involving Israel. The Israeli settlers are emboldened to commit violence against Christians in the West Bank. And of course, this is in complete diametric opposition to Trump's demands, where he said in no uncertain terms, Israel will not be annexing the West Bank. They've gone too far there and they need to stop. He said that verbatim and on live TV. And then they just went ahead and did it anyway, because they're making him look like a total fool. The crisis of extremist settler violence in the West Bank must be confronted, and the perpetrators must be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. There should be zero tolerance for violent extremism, no matter what form it takes and no matter what direction from which it comes. Dozen of extremist settlers said to raid West Bank Palestinian villages, torch property on the 22nd of March. On day one of the second term, however, of President Trump, Trump canceled sanctions on extremist settlers accused of violence against Palestinians. Settlers got the impression they had a green light from the new administration to pursue ethnic cleansing. So on January 20th, 2025, Trump canceled all the sanctions on Israeli settlers in the West Bank. And since then, they have been increasingly violent in their assault against the Palestinians whose families have lived there for thousands of years. So that's extremism. That's terrorism. That's violent. So this is live right now. Trump gift Iran made to U.S. was significant. Is he talking about Iran? Let's go to this.
Your father better. Okay. Come here. Look at this guy. Come here. This guy, don't wrestle him. We'll steal him over here. All right. I want to thank the family, because without the family, he's not here. You know, he's a different person. And that goes especially
right, so,
for
this
mom,
is Trump
like
signing in, swearing in Mark Wayne Mullen, who, of course, should have never gotten through the Senate because of what Rand Paul revealed about him. But none of that matters, right? Yeah, he'll be a good little servant for Israel, I'm sure. I don't know. It just feels like that's what the entire federal government is designed around right now. So that seems to be the only thing that actually matters. And again, like, to even suggest that opposition to the war in Iran, like, you understand that if you like Israel or if you like America, you should be against the war in Iran. Do you understand this? The crew just put up a headline about China. A Chinese think tank paper analyzing the implications of the extended war with Iran. From the Chinese perspective, it's a huge opportunity. They say that a protracted Middle East war would be a period of strategic opportunity for China. Turmoil at sea leaves U.S. allies who are dependent on seaborne energy vulnerable. So China will be able to accelerate their revival of continental power. Capital will initially flee to the U.S. dollar, but as the war drags on, it will seek new safe havens. Hong Kong has already emerged as a preferred destination for Middle Eastern money. The war will accelerate the shift towards a global industrial chain resting on U.S. demand, China as the hub and the rest of the world in supporting roles, handing China pricing power and rule-setting authority. And five, this is a stress test for the petrodollar and U.S. military credibility. The U.S. is signaling that interests might take precedent over allied security, while trade settlements are using renminbi to hedge risks. So China sees this as very beneficial for them. China is celebrating America's folly in the Middle East and is seeing the war with Iran as a great opportunity to, you know, encroach upon us farther. So again, it's like, okay, anybody in favor of the war in Iran hates America. That's the truth. Anybody who's in favor of war in Iran is saying that they are willing to sacrifice America for the benefit of Israel and China. China and Israel are the only ones benefiting from this. America is being used as a sacrificial goat, as a golem to carry out this attack. It doesn't benefit us. It will destroy us. And that's the purpose for the people who did it. So if you're in favor of the war in Iran, if you're one of these hoorah patriotic Americans that just wants to see America go kick butt everywhere, then you're wrong. And the war in Iran is directly opposed to your values, and you should be on our side. Okay. So unless you are a Chinese agent or an Israeli subversive element, you should be against the war in Iran. Anybody who's for the war in Iran, even if they're saying it's because they're patriotic, they're lying. They love China and they love Israel. And that's just the only explanation I can think of for why you would support this war that is only destroying America, only empowering those in Israel and those in China. You must be a Chinese or Israeli agent. That's the only conclusion I can come to. But all of this is to respond to a post by Seth Dillon. He is the writer of the Babylon Bee. Where the heck is it? I just had it. Here it is. Seth Dillon. This is the insane inversion of reality that anybody listening to me over the last couple years should be able to see for exactly what it is, the literal inversion of the truth. Seth Dillon says, the plan seems to be, one, split the right over Israel-Iran while claiming anybody who objected was divisive, two, lose badly to the left, three, blame the loss on everyone who refused to join them in their sabotage, four, cite the loss as justification for their gaining and abusing power down the road. Okay, so this is obviously insane. The right being split over Israel and Iran is because the real right wing, the American right wing, is pissed that America is not the center of attention, is outraged that Israel gets so much money and so much attention and so many resources and so much priority when it comes to the federal government, while the American people are left with nothing. So again, I'll ask, who is the right winger? Is it Harrison Smith, who works at InfoWars and has had the same positions since I was 11 and believes strongly in every right wing, quote unquote, position you could hold? Or is it the lifelong leftist Jewish progressive Democrats that joined Trump in 2024 solely and completely because of his support of Israel? What defines a right winger or a conservative or an American patriot? Is it your belief in Western civilization and the, you know, founding fathers and the beauty of America and the republic we created, or is it your dedication to Israel? These people want you to think that Israel is the only thing that matters, that everything else comes to nothing if you don't support Israel. That's what defines right wingers. And of course, the truth is, he's exactly right, just in the opposite direction. The plan is to destroy the Republican Party. The plan is to usher in Democrats, because everybody advising Trump to go to war with Iran is a Democrat. And this was all part of the plan the whole time. They're not Americans. They're not Republicans. Don't take advice from them.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th. 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue Tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, although I am going to be handing off the baton here momentarily to Patrick Byrne. He's going to take over for the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. He's fixing his collar up nice. You look great, Patrick. Don't worry about that. How are you, sir? I understand you've got a lot of really powerful information to present during the fourth hour today.
Dude, nice to see you. I feel like I've made big time hosting Alex Jones next after you, Harrison. That's, you're a tough act to follow.
Ah, it's a big shoes to fill, big chair to sit in. And I was just thinking, I mean, I know you're going to talk about Smartmatic. I follow your ex and you're posting really interesting things about Dominion and Venezuela. And it's like, with everything else going on, I'm thinking about China. There's this Chinese hack that's going on. There's all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, and we had our election stolen in Venezuela on top of it. I mean, we are getting hit from every direction here, Patrick.
Correct. It's all related, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be tracing it all back to China. What I've realized is you can't tell the public to eat an elephant all at once. You got to give them one bite at a time. Now that they've gotten their mind around Venezuela and Cuba, it's time to start exposing all the relations back to China. And I noticed that John Solomon's now reporting exactly that, that China hacked the voter rolls in Alaska and 18 other states. We've known all about that. It's one of the things I told the president in December 18th, 2020, that famous meeting. So it's all coming through and we're excited. I'm going to be walking through 11 screenshots today to really explain to your people what's going on. I can give a lot of information today.
Well, good. And yeah, I didn't even touch this story yet, but it's a big one. Chinese hack that led to the banning of foreign routers is way worse than I ever could have imagined. This is from, on X at the Anders Paul. The Chinese were not just in our routers. They had access to our IoT. That's Internet of Everything. That means cameras, video recording, storage devices. They even court approved access to communication systems, meaning our government surveillance. So apparently the Chinese, had this back door to just about every, you know, consumer electronic, including the ones that our government used. And now they're basically saying you can't buy routers anymore because it seems like all routers that came from China, which is pretty much all of them, are all infected with this. Again, our defenses have been down for so long. I'm surprised we haven't suffered some major attack already. I mean, it seems like they're in all of our systems, Patrick. Like, what are they waiting for?
Well, we kind of threw their timing off with the resistance we showed after 2020. We were never supposed to get out of that 4 year. We were never even supposed to make the end of it, but the citizens stepped up and threw their timing off.
Right. I talked about that, earlier in the show today, you know, talking about how these people are so powerful. They're very good at pulling strings behind the scenes, but they're human beings and we can stand up against them and we can force them to change their tactics or have to, you know, change their strategy. I pointed out, Anthony Fauci still referred to 2025 as COVID year 5. So yeah, they expected this to be like to go on forever, but we stopped them with our resistance. You're exactly right. It's a good lesson.
Yeah, thank you. Well, they want there to be forever crises because when there's a crisis, they get to take emergency power that looks a lot like being a tyrant. And so they want, and they never want to give it up. So they're going to keep on manufacturing crises, whether they're pandemics or UFOs or, you know,
wars or whatever they can do. Yep.
Climate warming, climate cooling, climate change. Got to be some crisis so we accept a unified global dictator.
And it doesn't matter what the crisis is. If it's COVID, if it's climate change, if it's the war in Iran, the answer is always the same. Lockdowns, restrictions, rationing
more
of things.
More power up top.
And a transfer of wealth as well. Well, I'm going to step down. Patrick Byrne's going to take over for me. We have about a 90-second break in 1 minute. I do want to remind people to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we can get support. I know Patrick Byrne is probably the biggest fan I've ever met of Methylene Blue. You should see him when he doesn't.
Let me jump on that. I can't believe this. When I first tried this, I was actually just being polite. I didn't know if these were lotions and potions that you guys were peddling. Holy cow, this stuff is great. And I mean, I'm not just saying that. I'm normally on, I take one prescription medicine, the levothyroxine to wake me up in the morning. I've learned that with Methylene Blue, it like is better than taking I've done all kinds of A-B tests.
It is it's a real, you know, miracle, supplement, as is iodine. Iodine, Methylene Blue, these things are incredible and on sale now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we get support. With that, I leave you to Patrick Byrne. He takes over in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Also taking a deep dive, election security white hat hacker Hari Hursti.
They have set up a complicated system which is centralized and doesn't seem to have any safeguards.
Georgia's vote tallying system is a complex assortment of laptops, iPads, magnetic cards, touchscreens, printers, and scanners. Lots of moving parts. In 2019, Georgia bought the devices from a Canadian company called Dominion Voting Systems. They replaced paperless machines like these, made by a now-defunct company called Diebold Election Systems. A federal judge forced the state to scrap the discredited devices. Election security activist Marilyn Marks was part of the lawsuit that triggered the change. But for her, ballot marking devices, now used widely in 14 states, are not the ideal remedy.
We need paper records that are marked by the voter, with the voter's own hand, where we know that was recorded the way that the voter wanted it recorded.
Election security experts working for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the state have uncovered several troubling issues. Alex Halderman looked closely at the QR codes, where the votes are encoded for the scanner.
By analyzing the structure of the QR codes, I've been able to learn that there's nothing that stops an attacker from just duplicating one. And the duplicate would count the same as the original barcode.
And in late September, another concern came to light. During testing, election workers found half the names of the 21 candidates for Senate intermittently disappeared from screens during the review phase.
You never want to rush something which is mission critical, and this is mission critical, into production without proper time of testing. That's really one of the ways bad actors are finding the vulnerabilities to exploit is looking for honest vulnerabilities and finding out if they can be weaponized, if they can be exploited.
As Patrick Byrne here hosting Alex Jones today, for the second time, Alex has asked me to take an hour. What an honor that is to be on InfoWars, where it's a war for your mind. Fortunately, we have the most powerful weapon of all, which is truth. That it is flattering that I get to speak to you again. Today, I have a lot of information. We're connecting some dots. Now that the mainstream media, or at least is close, John Solomon is now reporting these Chinese links into the machine, we can get there. It's like an onion that we've taken our time one layer after another. We're getting to that video that we just started with is a 2-minute clip from a PBS show 2 weeks before the 2020 election that stole our country. 2 weeks before it, PBS did that clip about the danger of Dominion, the danger of these machines, how the thing's really just a pig's breakfast, people running around, you know, thumb drives and plugging them in and taking that. It's just so ripe for misuse. It's absurd that anyone familiar with computer security would know that that's all absurd. But what's key is that was done 2 weeks before the election in 2020. After the election, suddenly saying any of that stuff became a thought crime, got me banned as misinformation and so on and so forth. But before the election, PBS was reporting all the things we're reporting. I'm going to be diving into this today with 11 exhibits, but we're going to move very quickly through each. So don't freak out. I'm going to show you some documents and I'm going to tell you carefully what each one means. Let's go to exhibit one that I sent into Daria, John. Let's show exhibit one. Not that video, but the next thing after. Yes, this is the DOJ indictment against Smartmatic that has a superseding. You see the SGO Corporation, a.k.a. Smartmatic. There is the defendant along with four top executives. And there's a superseding indictment. That's when they took the previous one and they added stuff to it. Let's go to the next. Let's go to the next exhibit two. This is what's key. I won't wrap you up in a bunch of Latino names, but what they're saying is in 2016, a Smartmatic executive, his name's Vasquez, this indictment is filled with vendor A and person one, whom they don't identify. I'm going to show you how you can get there today. They say that this fellow emailed a vendor, said he had a meeting with his boss and individual one. They considered another company to use, quote, in the future for the kind of transactions we have to make. It's a good idea. We have many ways to route transactions to minimize transfers. The idea is to use this company as a sales representative of vendor A. So in the future, if we need something, SMT Smartmatic can place a purchase order for some service with this Hong Kong company one, and that will place the real order for us with another vendor for some smaller amount and capture the difference. So this is a scheme to use a company in Hong Kong as a front to buy from another vendor in Hong Kong. So part of what the DOJ has indicted them for is using some kind of front arrangement. Now let's dig into who are these front people. Let's go to let's try to figure out who this vendor A is, because it's very key. Next exhibit, please. Okay. This is really key. Let's go back. Scroll to the top of this, please. Scroll to the top of this. The very top. There. So there's a guy named Jim Penrose I'm going to talk about. He'd probably kill me for talking about him. Jim Penrose is a guy from the NSA, National Security Agency, which until 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we didn't even admit existed. And we said that NSA stood for no such agency. Jim Penrose is a young man who, at the age of 27, had already risen quite high within NSA, let's say mid-tier to upper mid-tier ranks, because he's an extraordinary thinker, an extraordinary briefer, really can make things clear. He's also the guy who found Osama bin Laden. He's got something from Obama and a picture with him and Obama. He's the guy who sort of did the NSA type of technical work and located him. he was given the perfectly legally the computers of in Michigan that were used in the election 2020. And he did the Penrose report, which was submitted. It's on file in Michigan. It was submitted in a case. It's all got blown over, but he got a hold of the Michigan machines, the Antrim machines and others from Michigan. And he found some extraordinary stuff that all just got suppressed. We're going to talk about this. So that's Jim Penrose. Go to the next screen, please. What he found was that the Michigan voting systems of both Dominion and ES&S have been found to have utilized, my thing's over there. Can you move my wireless technology? Remember, they were saying these things cannot be accessed. They're air gapped. There's no nothing, but actually he found that they have wireless technology and wireless transmission of vote totals and disabled the saving of ballot images without approval during the 2020 election. I'm going to tell you what this means and its significance. It's huge. So the first thing I told you was that DOJ indictment about Smartmatic, which talked about some mysterious vendor A, which was being used to do some shilly-shally front, you know, obscure some purchases by Smartmatic. Let's go to the next slide. And now we're tracing where that vendor A might be. They found that in the unallocated space, so, you know, these bad guys don't want us to be able to investigate anything. If we get to see anything, it's we get to see the digital images of the ballots. If we keep pushing, you get to see a report from the machine. You need to access the hard drive to find the real stuff. And the truth is that machine was accessed by foreigners during the 2020 election. One of the people who accessed them was from Taipei, Taiwan, and one was from Germany. But I caution you, it doesn't matter where, as long as it's foreign, it doesn't matter where. It can be in Timbuktu. But when hackers come in, they don't come straight in. They skip through three or four hops to something in Timbuktu or Germany or Taiwan and then come in. So we don't really know, allegedly, where the attacker came from. We just know that their last hop was either from Taiwan or from Germany. Okay? So this invalidates the election itself. There was foreign access to these systems, foreign access to the systems, totally illegal. Supposed to be all kinds of laws and regulations and government departments preventing this. This is the most secure election in history. Well, somebody in Nuremberg, Germany and Taiwan, or at least bounced through, some bad actors bounced through and got on these machines during those elections. Now let's go to the next slide. It gets more and more interesting. This may seem dry. In addition, he found that Dominion turned off that in August 2020, before the election, they did some testing in Michigan, and they turned off image saving. So what happens when you put your ballot into the system? Your ballot goes in. They take a digital image of your ballot. The paper goes into a box. This actually becomes your ballot. And then everything after that, the counting, the recounting, everything is on a digital image. Well, you know that digital images can be altered. They can be swapped. All kinds of funny things happen. They can change. And the software to do that is actually in the system. So a safeguard against that is if in some precinct in Michigan, they collect the ballots and run them through the machine and take the digital images. If we're going to transmit them up, let's at least keep our copy of the digital images. But they say, you know what? We're just going to eliminate the original digital images. So now you're not using the paper and you're not even using the original digital image. You're using a copy of the image of the paper. So now you're way the hell away from what the guy actually voted. There's all kinds of monkey business that can go on there. And as an excuse to turn off image saving down at the lower level, so no one could ever check, they used this excuse that it slowed down the transmission times. And so we turned off image saving, which will improve transmission by a few seconds. That for every batch of 100 ballots, it'll be improved a few seconds. What a phony excuse. What they did was and by the way, totally illegal, not allowed, can't do anything like this without approval. It violates the whole, I don't know how many laws and regs this breaks. So you're getting way away from the original material and you're becoming more and more esoteric. Now let's get to the next slide. Oh, by the way, if I get through this quickly enough, we're going to have time for call-ins in the second half of the show. Here's another thing that Jim found. Now, Jim doesn't want any part of this anymore. He's out. He's CEO of his own company. He doesn't want anything to do with this stuff. He's probably mad I'm talking about him. Because he doesn't want, you know, we're going to have to drag him kicking and screaming because he does not want to be, this is so radioactive. But he found in the machine a wireless modem installed internally from Telit. The company is called Telit. And, that's in the ESS machines. Why that's wrong is here, remember, they've been telling this is all air-gapped. It's not connected to anything. It's no one could hack on. There's no access point. There's no access. There's no way to access the machines. Well, actually, if they have a modem inside, of course they can be accessed. These guys are lying through their teeth, and when confronted, they made up a new definition of air-gapped. They said, well, air-gapped no longer really means to us that the machine isn't connected to anything else. Air-gapped just means it's connected to other things, but we think it's all secure and no one else can break in. If they have a modem there, an electronic, a mobile modem, somebody can break in. And I'm going to tell you who in a second. So this was a huge, remember, until this stuff came out, they were sticking to this story that these machines aren't connected, can't be connected, no way to access them. But what do you know? They've got buried inside. By the way, that motherboard comes from Beijing, China. They make it look like it's manufactured in Taiwan. It comes from Beijing, China. So now let's go to the next slide. This is getting more interesting if you follow along. One of the things he notices, he says, is that this, without getting too detailed, there's a SIM card. If you have a phone, you know what a SIM card is. You can take, and it has certain settings. You can take that SIM card out and put it in just any other wireless modem and make it look like you're that device and upload anything the hell you want. They shouldn't be uploading stuff through the air anyway, but similarly, anyone who clones that SIM card or actually just takes it, they can put it in some other machine and just upload any results they want. An unauthorized user could gain access by an extra SIM card, given the same codes or just removing it. I don't know as a former tech company CEO, I want to throw up all over this. This is as far from secure, the most secure election in history. That's funny. Okay, next slide, please. We're nearing the end. Next slide, please, John. Okay, scroll up an inch. Okay, there we go. Buy an extra SIM card. Okay, now down. These features are very useful to application programs, but are also ripe for abuse by unauthorized users of the APM within these ES machines. And this is ripe for abuse. This system is architected so you can hack it. It's the architecture is so bad. Okay, next slide. It's ripe for abuse, Jim found. Now, who is Telit? Here is an announcement in the summer of 2020 of a guy appointed to the board named Yuxiang Yang. Now, his last name is Yang, and so as not to confuse you with Chinese names, I'm going to call him just Mr. Yang. He's joined the board of Telit, the manufacturer of that modem, whose picture I just showed you. Mr. Yang, so who's this Chinese guy who's now on the board of Telit, the manufacturer of these secret modems in the machines that we weren't even supposed to know about? He is a founder and CEO of China Fusion Capital, a Chinese investment management group. He's the CEO of Renliang Tai Management, a significant shareholder of Telit. He's the CEO of another leading news aggregation platform in China. And prior to founding this, he was the CEO of Ping An Securities, which is a Chinese investment bank. Okay, this guy is China. No one rises to this level in China without being on a first-name basis with the CCP, if not being CCP himself. Look, any peasant in China, if some guy comes over from China to study here, by Chinese law, if the Chinese say, while you're in America, we want you to steal this secret, By law, he has to. If the American government comes to you and says, hey, would you help us solve some caper? You can tell the American government to get stuff. They can't make you help them. China doesn't work there. They have a law that they can make any citizen help them. But I promise anybody who has risen to these heights in China and running these kinds of, is CCP. He's CCP. Go ahead. Go ahead to the next slide, please. The maneuvering by powerful investors comes after secretive Chinese multimillionaire banker. This is from the British publication. A British publication dug into this and wrote, the maneuver by powerful investors comes after secretive Chinese multimillionaire Mr. Yang joined Telit's board earlier this summer. His appointment may raise concern in Westminster that a Chinese businessman with ties to his country's communist government could be seeking to gain influence over the business that is manufacturing cellular modems that are secretly getting installed in the air-gapped election systems in the United States. Yeah, it might cause some concern. Yeah, I think that, does it cause you concern? It causes me concern. Okay, go ahead, please. Next slide. Or is that the last one? Do we have the last? If that's the last slide, I may be on the last slide by now. Is there another slide? Okay. Well, thank you. So now what have I told you? That in the Smartmatic indictment from the DOJ, they trace things back to a Hong Kong. They were talking about a Hong Kong company that is being used as a front to buy whatever they need in China. And here's Mr. Yang with Hong Kong Telit and all these Hong Kong and mainland Chinese connections. I think the chances are high it's going to turn out that's the vendor A from the DOJ indictment is this Telit. And that's Jim Penrose's report that came out that was filed in 2021. And of course, if we had a media that was worth anything, they would actually dug that would have been up headlines, but instead it's been suppressed. No one will talk about it. So Smartmatic is sort of summarize this because I know I gave you a bunch of documents. There's a DOJ indicted Smartmatic and then superseded it last October. And they say there's a bunch of monkey business with a Hong Kong company, which is acting as a front through which they buy some other things that make it look like it's coming from. Now, and then on this other information chain I'm showing you, there's a guy named Yang, who's the board member and major owner of a Telit corporation, which makes cellular modems, which are getting stuffed onto the motherboards of the computers that then get sent over here for us to do elections on. The whole time they're telling you, oh, this stuff can't connect to anything. It's all air-gapped. It's completely on its own. You guys are a bunch of conspiracy theorists, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, actually, it does have a modem in it. But it just talks to the, it has a modem in it. And the modem, I showed you all the ways someone could even imitate that. Even if it has that modem in it, somebody else with the same security code can just buy another SIM card and program it, and they can actually log on to the mainframe, making it look like they're coming from there, or they can come in through, they can do anything they want. Basically, the lesson, it's hard to explain if you're not into computer science how bad this is, but it's really, really bad. It's as bad as it can get. I'll put it this way. I said to a Dolphin speaker in like December 2020, November 2020, as we were starting to pull this up, and saying on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is this? And how secure is this stuff? And he said, it's a 2 or maybe a 1. You can't find anything in the commercial and the public space this bad. Not a machine in a gambling hall, not an ATM, not a radio, nothing in the public is this loosey-goosey as the voting machine garbage that I just walked you through. And I believe vendor A, well, from that Smartmatic indictment, the Hong Kong company, is probably has something to do with Mr. Yang. Okay, well, that's my heavy dose. I know I blasted through this. I've learned that people understand better if I go through quickly than if I go through slowly. I gave you the whole narrative arc quickly. You can rewind this and go more slowly if you want. Now, we're going to be coming back after an announcement, and I'm going to be taking questions. The number to call if you want to ask questions is 512-646-1776. That is 512-646-1776. So when we come back, and in the meantime, pull out your credit card, and I swear to God, buy some of these supplements from Alex. First, because they really are good quality. And I would not be telling you this if I had, you can, you know, RFK, you see him using it? This is why. This stuff has been around 100 years. It makes you feel like you're about 20 again. Secondly, you should buy because you got some warriors out here fighting for you. And a lot of people keep their heads down. But maybe, you know, all we're asking is if you can buy the bullets and the hand grenades and send them up to the front, guys like Alex and me, we'll fight the war for you. Seems like the least you can do is buy some of the methyl blue. Okay, come back soon.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, ultimate burn, life force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, ultimate burn, life force CMOS, methylene blue t-shirt and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Patrick Byrne on the second half of our my Alex Jones hosting today, my second try at this. You know, I was warned that maybe I'm too dense when I come on these shows. I show too many documents. But actually, the feedback has been quite a bit different. People who really want information have taken to it and have let me know that they want this hardcore information, just not a bunch of a celebration or something. But so Alex has been very good to let me know and to let me come on and lay these things out. So I hope I'm not putting anyone to sleep. Let's go to questions. You can call in. I've given you the number. And we're going to try something new. We ask a question and then go off. And last time I was on, somebody came on and made like a 5-minute statement. I'd rather you come on and ask a question. So you're going to have like 30 seconds to ask a question and then we're going to drop you. I'll answer and we'll go to the next one. Okay. John, go to the first question, please. First caller.
Hi. My name is Kristen. I'm from Maricopa County, and we'd love seeing you on InfoWars, and we'd love seeing you in Emerald. So just keep doing what you're doing. We love the information. We love the data dump, so we appreciate you. I'm from Maricopa County. I was involved with a lot of different things here in Maricopa County with 2022 and ballots not being right. My physical ballot has hidden extra votes created by the black header bars in the actual piece of paper itself. I hear us addressing voter rolls. I hear, and I'm very grateful for that. I love that we're addressing the mail-in ballots. That's obviously a problem. But we have to put out all three fronts of a fire if we're going to get to truth. And we need to get down to when we're talking about the hidden extra votes that are physically in the paper. Can you help me with that, or can you share some enlighten us a little bit?
Oh, yes. They can do that. They can put stuff in the header bar. You can put stuff in a QR code. You know how some people, like if you send each other Bitcoin, you can hold up a QR code and that's supposed to be your wallet. They can now put stuff in a QR code that if you flash that QR code, it comes in and programs your phone and tells it, take all your Bitcoin and send it to that guy. So, I mean, they can bury stuff in places you can't understand, which is why we got to get, there's no point in having these computers other than people cheating. We got to get away from all of this and do elections like we teach Burma to do elections with a piece of paper. And they're counted right there locally. And it's a really simple system we teach all over the world. And Maricopa, my gosh, you are on the front line of the war. You're in Hue. If this were the Vietnam War, you were in Da Nang. You're in the middle of a real battle. And they are so corrupt, and they're just going for the gusto. They're just doubling down and doubling down and doubling down on their corruption. But I see Stephen Richter has come under investigation for obstruction of justice. He should have on January 21st of last year, but he's finally under obstruction of justice investigation because you can't just do the way these clowns do. Okay, well, God bless you there in Maricopa. Keep up the fight. We've rounded the home stretch. I think Trump has to do something very muscular, which means a national emergency order, and make this a military thing, this is a national emergency. Our systems are so completely corrupted, we cannot hold any election on them. And I'd like some of it to get there through the SAVE Act, so it's all nice, but whatever he's got to do, the answer is we have to hold a fair election. We're going to back into anything we have to do to get there. And the SAVE Act is a great step. We got to use National Guard, whatever we have to use. But the fixed thing is we're holding a clean election this November. Okay, next caller, please, John.
Hey, Patrick. We really appreciate the granular detail that you provide and the amount of evidence that you show. But one thing Harrison always says is that, man, we've got them dead to rights. We've got so much evidence. But what the hell is going to be done about it? Assurances can you give us that all of this wonderful information you're providing is going to be applied effectively to hold people accountable in time effectively to make sure that we get a clean election and a fair election like you're touching on?
Well, great question. the DOJ is in one direction. They're crawling towards the center. You saw that. If that's in their indictment from October, believe me, if they put that in the indictment on October, they know a lot more that they put in the indictment. And they've learned a lot more in the 5 months since then. So the DOJ knows everything they need to know. They have, there's some peanut butter in the legal engine. And his name's Todd Blanche. He's the number two of the DOJ. I've heard from multiple sources that even they just raided Fulton County, Georgia, and Tulsi Gabbard was there with a raid about 4 or 6 weeks ago. That raid, he was against. He was against the warrant. He was saying there's not yet probable cause to look into Fulton County, Georgia's 2020 election. You know, if that's the number two at the DOJ, the number one at the DOJ lives, Pam Bondi, actually lives down in Florida. She flies up on the DOJ private jet to do press conferences, and she goes back down. Todd, number two, runs the place. And he believed that as of a month ago, that there was not yet probable cause that justified getting a warrant to look into Fulton County, Georgia. So that's just a guy doing this. That's just, you know, one of these guys. So I'm not sure I can't promise the DOJ as it's currently configured will get there. But I can tell you Trump understands everything I'm telling you. I don't talk to Trump. I don't have anything. Trump and I are kind of oil and water, stylistic differences. But I know a lot of people who do talk to Trump, and I'm supplying them material, and other people I work with are supplying. So we kind of it's hard not to get a feel for things. And I see what he says publicly, and he knows everything I'm saying, and he knows the fate of the republic hinges on it. He's got to do it if he can't do it through the legislature and the DOJ, he's got to use his war powers, national security powers, Department of War, use the National Guard and run a simple old-fashioned election like we teach Burma to do it. You know, at the end of the day, he can do everything and he needs to as a national emergency. Now, the bad guys are going to fight that. The Mark Eliases are going to fight that. It'll go to the Supreme Court. Historically, the Supreme Court's really loath to get their fingers on any national security issue. If the president says something is national security, he kind of gets to do quite a bit more than Americans know. You know, remember the president's the only guy whose oath of office is not just to protect and defend the Constitution, but protect, defend, and preserve. If the constitutional republic dies, it's on the shift of whatever president whose shift it is, that's the guy who failed. So this is on Donald Trump. He's the only guy who swears the oath to preserve the Constitution, which means he has to do anything he needs to do to preserve the Constitution. And given what we've just shown you, given what John Solomon has now reported, let me give you some more information about this. John Solomon has just reported in the last 48 hours over on Just the News that China hacked our election, our voter rolls in Alaska and in 2020 and 18 other states. Let me tell you, we knew that in December 2020. We knew all about it. Why these voter rolls, you're going to keep hearing about the voter rolls now. Why it's so important is before you stuff the ballot box, you got to stuff the voter rolls. And that's because when the bad guys submit, they can't just submit ballots willy-nilly. They've got to be matched, tied to, it checks off. When it gets submitted into the system checks off, oh, this guy in the voter rolls voted. So every ballot comes in, it has to check off an actual registered voter. So they stuff it. Another big thing they do is they identify beforehand, statistically, who's unlikely to vote. In the county I'm in Florida, there may be, you know, here's 5% of the population who hasn't voted for the last 5 elections. So the chances they're going to come in and vote this election are low. So we're going to steal their names and submit votes on their behalf. That's another one of the tricks. But at the end of the day, if that's not enough, they just keep submitting the stuffed ballots. And what the system, they need live access to the voter rolls. Because if they're coming on at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night and submitting 50,000 ballots, they need to find 50,000 people who haven't voted yet today. And so they need live access to the voter rolls to find 50,000 that they check off and attribute all those stuffed ballots to those 50,000. So this arcane question of live access to the voter rolls and seeing who has voted at any moment or not is hugely important to their theft. They need the live access to the voter rolls. And that's why it's extremely problematic that, I mean, it kills the whole election, that China had access to the voter rolls in Alaska in 2020 and 18 other states. That means they were stuffing ballots in those states. That's the only reason. They're not there looking up because they want to know somebody's address or what their date of birth is. They need the live access so as they stuff, they can be checking off, okay, well, this ballot we're stuffing, we're going to attribute to this guy, Joe Blow at 32 Orchard Road, and then because he hasn't voted yet today. And that's also why you hear about these other stories. Somebody's showing up at the end of the day at 6:30, and they go to vote, and they say, here's my ballot. And the people look it up and say, no, you already voted today. And they say, no, I didn't vote. I've just come from work. Here's my ballot. Well, what's really going on is the system, the stuffing, figured, well, they haven't come in by an hour ago. They're not likely to come in, so we're going to submit in his name, too. And that's why you have these crazy stories emerging. So I am confident that Trump is going to do – I am confident that Trump understands everything I'm telling you. I'm also confident the DOJ has been a weak sister through all of this because of – he made the mistake he always does. He hires people he knows and likes and who look good on Fox, and they don't get the job done. And there are people who've never gotten a job done. That's what pisses me off. There are people who've he puts these people in charge who've never done anything that like what they're being asked to do, to take a project and manage a project. They're celebrities. So, but he's got Trump has his trust issues. And so he picks people that he trusts. It also makes him easy to manipulate because people all know who are trying to get with him that it's all about convincing him. Oh, I love you. I love you. You can trust me. Well, so there's a whole bunch of people who worm their way into a circle with that pitch. I knew 4 years ago, that's like common knowledge. The pitch you use when you meet Trump is to keep promising your loyalty. So he gets people inside that shouldn't be inside. But I'm not confident the DOJ, I mean, we're seeing great steps for the DOJ. I think they need to replace the management with some killers. I mean, some people who can get something done, but we're seeing progress with the DOJ. We're seeing progress with the SAVE Act. At the end of the day, what he doesn't get done, you know, he's got to get it done hook or by crook. And if he doesn't get it done through those processes, he needs to declare a national emergency. And I'd love to see the Supreme Court step up and say, no, you don't have that power. For the first time in history, you know, the president is saying that national security of the nation depends on me. In this case, doing a very mild step and just saying we're going to run an election like the rest of the world is taught to run elections very simply with the pot of ink, do one of these old fashioned, very simple elections. And because these machines are now demonstrably hacked, demonstrably not secure, they have been hacked. It's not just that they're vulnerable, but they were hacked. They were hacked in 20. I'd love to say, and 85% of the population wants more secure elections. And I'd really love to see SCOTUS stand up to that and say, we don't think, we're going to overrule you, Mr. President, regarding the national security of the nation. I don't think it's going to happen. It'd be nicer. I'm sure that Trump politically would rather do that, get there by getting Congress to pass the SAVE Act and by getting the DOJ to do this and that and clock this down and that down. And this. At the end of the day, he can do it if he wants. He can, and he knows if he doesn't do it, by the way. What they're going to do is if they cheat in this election and they get the House, they're going to make Hakeem Jeffries Speaker of the House. They will indict him within 10 days. They will indict him and J.D. Vance within 10 days. I think they've already publicly said that, but we know that this is their plan. The Senate, 67 people have to vote to convict. It doesn't matter if they have 53 Democrat senators. It doesn't matter if they have 49. There's about 20 Republican senators who will vote to convict just because they want to be done with the Trump era. They want to be done. It's too crazy. It's too innocent. And they'll vote to convict. And we would lose Donald Trump. And we would lose President Trump and Vice President Vance. And you'd be saluting President Hakeem Jeffries. My guess is he'd bring in like AOC and Mamdani as his, you know, Secretary of State and Vice President. And I mean, it's all over. At that point, we're at civil war because we're not going to accept the Philadelphia lawyer, this and that. Bolsheviks don't get to take our country with a bunch of that nonsense. And we would be at civil war if they, but you know what? They want, they're fine with that solution. They'd rather have that than face the consequences of their action. Okay. Next caller, please.
Patrick.
Hi.
Hi, Patrick, Joanne calling. A couple of twofold question. One is the actual data that is collected for the voting, that data itself is not proprietary. So it would seem to me that we would be capable of taking that data and being able to receive it when it's initially transmitted and be able to take a look at what's actually there in that transmission, that that itself is not proprietary, but perhaps the encapsulation or the manner in which they send it through some sort of encryption, that that could be proprietary. So it would seem to me that real time, the data can be collected from these machines.
Well, it is, but that's, remember, I showed you the, where they said we turned off saving ballot images. So that way you can never really compare even the images of the ballots with the final result. By the way, Stephanie Lambert had some other expert witnesses. They got a hold, there were a bunch of town clerks who did keep, they got all ordered to erase their data. Some of them knew it was a crime. They didn't. They got some sheriffs. Stephanie got involved. And then they looked, well, who did the county say had voted versus the, after all that information rolled up to the state and the state had it. See, they sent, by the way, I broke my finger the other day. You see, it's hanging down. So am I, that's straight now. That when you compare what the state says about who voted and what the county's records show of who actually voted, it turns out to be there's between 11.5% and 20% discrepancy. That's because the state is just doing all this craziness and it's pre-baked and just getting, and it does, yeah, it doesn't agree with the reality that, you know, the people at the precinct know who came and voted. The people in the county have the actual records. If the state records don't agree, that's because they're baking, you know, they're baking the records there. Boy, Joanne, you asked some tough questions. The truth is none of this stuff should be transmitted. None of this stuff just should be transmitted. None of this, Warren Buffett says a thing not doing well. What does he say? A thing not worth doing isn't worth doing well. As opposed to a thing, anything worth doing is worth doing well. He says a thing not worth doing is not worth doing well. You know, it isn't worth doing, creating these super complicated systems with all these failure points and vulnerabilities in order to, why are we doing that? We're spending $100 million in Georgia to buy some machines that do this so you can find out 2 weeks after the election who won and everything is vulnerable and people can fight for 6 years about who actually won. How about you just do the old-fashioned way where people mark on a piece of paper and in each precinct they count? There's a very simple system we teach around in places like Cambodia. Yeah, you just have a precinct for the village, 200 or 300 people come in and vote. There's a way to count everything in the open. So it's verified. It's called Echo 65. You count in the open. It's done on a blackboard so the whole village can see. You get the results, write them down, seal it up, and you can call those results in and then take the bag of ballots with the results up. But at the end of at the end of the day, 3 hours later, the whole nation has its answer. And every link in every atom and every molecule that got combined into that national answer, you can actually very easily unscramble and just go right back. It's just a matter of looking at some three-digit numbers. And did this county add up a bunch of three-digit numbers correctly from its precincts? And if we doubt one of those precincts, you can go to that bag. I mean, it's really simple. And everyone has the answer in 3 hours, and you save the $100 million in your state for the equipment. It doesn't take you 2, 3, 4 weeks to get your answer, and you get it that night. And the answer you get is extremely transparent. No one can really argue. If they do have some argument, it's very easy to transparently check, did that county get its answer right? Did they add up some three-digit numbers correctly? And it's all transparent and public. And you have your answer at 9 o'clock at night and nobody can really question anything. So why do we have this arcane Rube Goldberg election systems, which nobody trusts, which are opaque, which have proprietary, you said stuff is proprietary. These companies shouldn't be able to say, well, this is proprietary. These are our elections, folks. You don't get, if saying it's proprietary is like saying, well, you just got to have, consider this part of the election as a black box and you got to trust us. Just trust us. Now, the first rule of election around the world is that an election without transparency has no integrity. We teach that all over the world. You have no transparency if there's some corporation doing some vital task and saying, well, it's proprietary. I can't show you anything. You now have taken what, you know, the Constitution places the obligation. It's the role of the state to hold elections. And the state is subject to all kinds of regulations and FOIA, Freedom of Information Act requests so people can't cheat and so forth. Well, if the state takes this extraordinarily vital process and they carve one piece off and they outsource it to a corporation, which then hides behind, well, we're a private corporation. You can't get any, you got to just trust what we did because it's all proprietary. You've now defeated the whole point. And, you know, they know that. They know that. Mark Elias and company figured that out, and they knew to take as break as many parts of the election process out of the hands of government officials, where citizens do have some rights of inspection financial, and push it out into all kinds of different subcontractors who then can fight forever and never have to turn anything over. That's how you, you know, that's how you do your cheating. You put your break, your mischief, the processes get broken out and put into private companies. And so the mischief gets buried out there and the citizens can't ever access it. And they're just told, no, that's proprietary. We don't have to tell you how anything works. Okay. So next question, please. Next caller.
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Patrick Byrne here. Go ahead.
This is another person. This is Dean from Utah.
Hi.
So anyway, yeah.
Love Utah.
Anyway, yeah, from Utah. I'm a mile
I spent
away
20 years in Utah. I was the biggest employer in Utah. I loved it there.
Where at?
I was in Salt Lake. Sandy.
Oh, I was down in Utah County, American Fork. My parents, you know, had a farm down there. But you know,
bicycled through it many times. I used to bicycle up that American Canyon and up that Spanish Canyon. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead with your question, Utah.
Yeah. So American Fork is known as the hub. We got the hub of pedophilia. And, you know, right now I'm living about a mile away from where Charlie Kirk got murdered. I think it's kind of like an omen. So I follow this stuff for years, and we got troubles, and I'm kind of a fan of all these people. You know, the guys over here fighting on securethevote.com and all that in Utah.
In Utah?
Yeah.
I don't know that specific group.
They've had a website for securethevote.com. I'll think of their names in a minute. It's not important.
There are some imposter groups. I mean, I don't know anything about them, but just be aware that the bad guys are now forming their own groups that sound like our groups,
they've had their group for years.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Utah has some pretty loosey-goosey mail-in voting, and I think that there's a problem.
So I was telling him about the SAVE Act this morning. Lowell Nelson is one of the guys on this, but I said, that's secure the vote. Is a Trojan horse. That makes it so you have to have a different ID, not a driver's license ID or the ID like I have, where I haven't had a driver's license since 1985. You have to have a voter ID. And so,
We need to make sure I don't know the details. Listen, we got 30 seconds left. Let me take over here, Utah. Thank you very much for your question. I don't know the details of the proposal he's talking about, but we do need to make sure only citizens are voting. And people say, well, voting by the apologists, the goons say, well, voting by election fraud, voter fraud is very rare and very rare for non-citizens to vote. What dopes, you know, it's either because then they said, look, there's no prosecutions. The reason is the system's corrupt. That's why there weren't prosecutions. Hey, it's been an honor. Thanks for having me on again, Alex Jones, audience. Love seeing you.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.